tonight on the Tomorrow Show. Have you ever come and instantly hated your life? Like walks on water and millennial parents are trifling. And Alex P. Love, sex, Buck, and Muhammad Ali. And Kevin's form of hazing involves an ice cream sundae, yeah.
Whoa. New media, the final frontier. These are the broadcasts of the Tomorrow Show. Its mission, to befriend fellow nocturnals, escapists, and dreamers. Not to mention angry loners, the socially inept, and those with Peter Pan syndrome. To boldly go where no broadcast has gone before. The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. Your overnight broadcast featuring one celebrity boyfriend's midlife crisis, millennials in Star Trek costumes, and so much more. The underdog's best friend. And all you need is a smartphone or access to the internet. Here's the captain of your tomorrow, Kevin Undergaro!
Monday, Monday.
So good to me. Welcome to the Tomorrow Show, everybody. I'm not worthy.
Yes, you are.
I'm not worthy. I feel like I stole Roxy's chair from her. Roxy always does such a good job.
Thanks, Sam.
It's the Tomorrow Show without Kevin Undergaro, unfortunately. He's greatly missed, but he couldn't be here, so I rushed from wherever I was to make sure I was here to fill in as best I could in his spot. Over at the social media desk is the wonderful Ashley Daniels.
Hi, Sam.
Long time no see, but you probably knew I was coming since you're psychic.
Well, I was going to say, since you're psychic,
of course,
you probably knew that I knew that you were coming.
That's how I knew.
That's how you knew.
100%.
Oh, my God, I missed you.
I had no doubt you'd be at the social media desk because...
You're psychic.
Well, I'm psychic.
Yeah.
Yeah, very intuitive.
You're so intuitive. We got to talk more about that.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah, that's how you knew she'd be over there.
That's
right. It couldn't have possibly been any other reason.
No.
Like, she's been there for 200 shows.
No, it's not. It's
no,
many
it isn't.
Reasons, astrologically and psychic.
No, this is no soft read over here. No.
Thank you. Good to have someone on the same page as me once in a while.
My Jew Roxy's over there.
Yeah. Good to be somebody's Jew. Kevin's everybody's Jew, so I'm nobody's Jew anymore.
I thought you were Kevin's Jew.
Well, I am Kevin's Jew, but I'm nobody else's Jew. But now I'm Sam's Jew.
Yeah. Do you ever feel like that? That I was thinking about this on the way here. And, of course, Sean Waltman. Hey. X-Pac is here.
Samuel.
In the booth.
Ooh.
Lauren LaGrasso.
What's up, Sam?
Yes.
It's a pleasure to broadcast with you.
Have you met our friend Michael?
Michael, the virgin,
yes,
right?
Yes, there we go.
Christian Michael.
That's what I'm known for.
I know him from the show, but that's the first time I met him. He was much taller in person.
He's really tall. I think strapping, handsome gentleman.
Very, very handsome. I don't understand why he's not using that thing. You know what I mean? I think about that all the time.
Yeah, not even by himself.
It doesn't make any sense. At some point in his life, he'll realize. He'll never admit it. But in his head, he'll go like, yeah, I should have used it.
The thing is you never get these days back.
Like, and that's the point.
And, you know, all these days you could have been fucking Michael.
That's ridiculous. I look at myself when I was younger, and I was like, my God, I was cuter than my confidence allowed me to believe. You know what I could have done with that face back then? Now? Why do you think I have to get a radio show now? I mean, it's ridiculous. I have to pull out all kinds of tricks to try to impress anybody. My wife, just to prove to her that I'm worth betting.
You did pretty well.
Well, I know, but I had to, I mean, the things, I had to jump through hoops. I'd use all kinds of mental and psychological tricks, which, Ashley, you know all about.
I know all about that.
Right. I had to use my psychic abilities to land a woman.
But Jedi mind trick?
Yeah, I absolutely had a Jedi mind trick. No. That's how I got Jess. She had feelings for another man. She was just getting out of a relationship, and she didn't want a relationship. But there was this good-looking guy, better looking than me, taller than me, you know, not more charming than me, but who is? and he was, and she was like, obvious. She was like looking for just some fun. She wanted to hook up with this guy, but I was like, I don't. It's not a good idea for me. I don't like that idea. So instead of like, you know, getting all aggro, I went in, and I started talking to her a lot. And there was one conversation that changed everything. This was back in the days of AOL Instant Messenger.
Ooh, AIM.
That's
what
right.
What was your AIM name?
I think it was really, I had a string of bad ones. G-Dust1 was my name in like 96.
Cool. Really?
Goldust was my guy, oh. Yeah. Yeah, Goldust and the 123 Kid were my two guys.
No way.
Yeah. Yep, of course. But so I'm talking to Jess on AOL Instant Messenger, and this is like, 2005-ish, 2005 or so. And we're talking, and she starts telling me about these Milk Dud cookies that she makes. And I've never heard of anything like that before. And I'm like, Milk Dud cookies? And like, we're going back and forth. And because this is her thing, I'm now taking this and like adopting it and like trying to make it our thing. Like now we're talking about Milk Dud cookies. So it's like the next time I see you, I'm like, Milk Dud cookies, right?
And she's like, that's my thing.
Well, it gets much worse than that,
oh,
Roxy.
No.
Oh, does it get bad? Like, I knew I had to go into battle mode. It got so bad.
Oh, no.
So it was the summer that we ended up getting together, and the same we'd had earlier in the week this Milk Dud cookie conversation, right? And then she goes, "Are you going to so and so? So some guy was having a party near us, like his party." And I'm like, "I don't even think I was invited to this party," but I was like, "Oh yeah, I am going, but I actually don't know where he lives. Should I just drive to your house and then we'll drive together?" Like,
good move.
Just like,
good move.
Because that's gotta be the answer.
Just laying it on.
Yeah. Like,
she couldn't do that today because now you get Waze.
Right, exactly. You know? But no, then, no Waze.
Bag of tricks back then was different.
Exactly. I had a Motorola Razor. You couldn't take you anywhere.
Nope.
So I mean, she would even admit today, like, it didn't make any sense what I just said. Like, it was, she was like, yeah, okay, I guess.
Oh, she didn't even question you. That's how you know she wanted it.
Well, no, she didn't.
She was just too nice.
I hadn't incepted yet. My inception wasn't full. So, but I get there and she's like, okay, yeah, I guess we can drive. And we drove and we get to the party and this guy is there that I was talking about earlier. And, Jess pulls out this bag of Milk Dud cookies and I go, oh, you made the Milk Dud cookies. And the guy goes, yeah, we made them earlier this week.
Oh.
What?
Gut-wrenching.
What?
That's tough.
Under my nose.
Brutal.
Okay. I was like, okay, this is a game, huh? These are the rules we're playing by. These are the rules of engagement. And I said, okay, so you know what I did? Instead of going after Jess harder, I said, I've got a new best friend target. That guy.
Nice.
That guy.
Wait, why did you want to make him your best friend?
So genius.
Wait till you hear this. You already know the end of the story.
I already knew everything.
You're a psychic. But I go like, okay, you. And I zeroed in on him and made him my best friend to the point where that night, like literally in that moment I did. And it was no more charming Jess. It was charming the guy. Like Jess is going to be taken care of.
You ignored her.
Not like ignored, but like I didn't pay any attention. Like I was too busy charming this dude to the point where she goes, I don't even remember where we were going, but she asked this guy if they want to go somewhere. They're going to drive somewhere to pick something up. I don't know what it was. And he was like, yeah, sure. Sam, you want to come? And I was like, gotcha.
Awesome.
One night.
Nice.
I was like,
so
got
done.
You. Got you. I was like, yeah. Jess was like kind of like befuddled by it. I'm like, come on, the three of us, the three musketeers. And then we went. And so whenever he was around, it was like, yeah, we're all best friends. And whenever it was just Jess and myself, because now immediately, right, when this guy starts inviting me, when Jess is inviting him places, Jess now has this thing in her head where she's like, what's his deal? Like now he's not as attractive anymore because he's doing this thing that she's like, what is that? Right? Now that that's in her head.
Oh God.
When I start like feeding that thing, it's not me being insecure and being like, yeah, this guy's a tool. It's me agreeing with the thing that's already in her head. So I start pointing out the other inadequacies that this guy had, but like laughing about it. So it's like, oh, isn't it? Ha ha ha. He does do that. He does do this, blah, blah, blah. To the point where, I mean, within a month, he looked like such chump change.
Genius.
That like I was fully incepted. I was in.
Does this guy have any idea that
this
is how it went down?
I mean, it's downright diabolical. And I don't think that he knows that it was that deep. I mean, I don't know if he is even aware that, like, of the game that he was playing.
Are you still friends today?
No.
Obviously not. There's no way.
I mean, there's still a chance.
I mean, it's psychic.
I should have known.
Our first, like, the first date, Jess knew what she was in for right after the first date. Like, I didn't ask her, like, hey, you want to go on a date? I was like, let's go to a comedy show, right? And so we went to Caroline's Comedy Club for what I knew was our first date, but Jess didn't really know. Because she here's how she found out it was our first date. We go to the comedy club, and before, like, in the middle of the week, she's like, oh, should we invite some of our other friends to come with us and do, like, a group thing? And I'm like, ah, they're sold out. They're sold out of tickets. Like, I just got the two. I wish I would have thought of that, but they're sold out. And we get to the club, and it's, like, half full. And she's like, you son of a bitch. And I'm like, that's what this is.
She really called you out?
I don't think she did that night.
But she knew.
She knew, because that's the moment where it's like, that's what this is. That's why I lied to you.
And did you ever confirm it?
100%.
Okay.
Awesome. Yep. 100%.
Right now, on air, at the Tomorrow Show, he's finally confirming it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I confirmed it early, because that was the other thing I was doing. I was taking credit for all my diabolical deeds.
Good shit.
Because it was like, because she knew that all the deeds were being done to woo her.
So did she ever look at this and think like, uh-oh, I'm maybe in with a psychopath?
No, she was like, I'm there with a winner. Goddamn, a winner.
Oh, right.
A winner. Because that's what I was doing. Was just destroying all competition. How, as a woman, right? I'm not going to win like the physical competition, right? I'm not going to win a beauty pageant. I'm not going to win an athletic competition. But I need to prove to this woman or any woman that I am the ultimate male. And I need to do it up here.
Well, you're highly, highly evolved, because most people wouldn't be able to do that. That most people, A, wouldn't think to do that, and B, if they even were given that task, they would fail at it miserably.
Well, here's what you have to do, Ashley. You have to find a way to, and you know this, Sean, from wrestling, you have to accentuate your positives and hide your negatives. Accentuates the positives, hide the negatives, because then she's not saying, oh, he can't catch a ball. She's like, oh, it's been a year since we even had any sports around us. Huh, I wonder why that is. You see?
Except wrestling, that is.
Except wrestling.
Yeah.
Right.
The best sport of them all.
That's the ultimate sport.
Yeah. At what point do you let your negatives come out a little bit? Like, if you're going to marry this person, for any advice for our people out there, you got to let the negatives start to show.
Once you're locked in, then you're locked in. Then it's like, she's, because you can't lie. Like, you have to accentuate your true positive. You're showing the best version of yourself. You're not lying about your stuff. You're just showing the best you.
Which is what you should do.
Right. And that's what she's
doing
anyway.
Should do.
Right.
You shouldn't go, hey, look at all this fucked up shit about me.
Yeah, exactly. And not like, yeah, you just don't say, if she goes like, hey, are you really good at sports? You can't be like, yes, but you go, I don't know anything about sports, but and you just kind of ignore the conversation. Yeah. And that way you're not like, you don't lie. You can't lie about stuff, right? You just can't, because eventually all of it comes out in the wash.
Like, it's not lying. It's not lying. It's omitting the truth.
It's not even omitting the truth. It's just focusing on the good stuff. That's where we're going.
Sam, quick question. Yeah. How are you feeling about Michael's interjections at this point?
I don't mind them.
Oh, they're good.
I don't mind them.
Good.
I'm paying close attention, though.
Cool.
I don't mind them, though. They're furthering the conversation.
Last time you were here, you gave us all grades, including Jared. And now Jared has turned into Michael, so we'll see how he stacks up.
Because Michael's not making it about himself.
Ooh.
He was incorrect in what he was reading from the conversation, but he phrased it with a question mark at the end.
Good for you, Michael.
Right?
Doing great.
Whereas Jared would be like, hey, here's a funny drop from some other thing. Like, what do you know what I mean? Like, Jared's like, hey, you guys hear what I did this weekend? Like, no, we're in the middle of a conversation.
You know? Gosh, we miss him.
It's a different thing.
Totally.
It's a totally different deal. But yeah, I mean, but that's a part of life. Like, that's how people succeed. That's what you should be doing in job interviews. That's what you should be doing in auditions. It's just figuring out, like, what parts of me make me right for this person, situation, job, scenario, whatever it is. And, like, go with that. Focus on that part of it and ignore the rest of it. And, like, yes, like, of course it'll all, like the things that you're not good at will come out, but they won't matter by the time, because the things that you are good at will have outshined them. And that's why also, like, the whole time I was doing all this, like, I was telling her what I was doing as I was doing it. Like all like you know, calling the home run. Pointing out, you know that Babe Ruth?
Yeah.
He would point out to exactly where he was going to hit the ball, and then that's where he would hit the ball. And nobody was like, oh, he knew he was going to hit it. That's not that impressive. Everybody was like, he's the man for doing that. And so that's, I was like, you understand what I'm doing here, right? And she was like, oh, my God. Like, this is what's happening. And then you know, once we were all comfortable with the inception, then I started calling my shots.
If that guy had his shit together, you wouldn't have been able to do it to him.
Right. Or it would have been a lot harder.
Yeah.
A lot harder. It was not difficult.
But you wouldn't have gone with that strategy. You knew.
Found the next strategy.
Yeah. Was this the first time you tried anything like this?
It was the first time I went that in depth, because like, it was the first time it mattered enough to go that in depth. Like, I wouldn't like go into that kind of battle with another person and use that much energy of mine if it wasn't like important. You know, like if it was just some girl that I wanted to hang out with, then, you know, you do it for a night and then you move on. Like, it's not a big deal. There's no reason to invest that much of your energy into something. But no, it was like I knew I was pursuing a person.
Did you know she was the one?
I mean, I don't know anything about the one. I just knew that that was a person that I wanted to pursue. But that's what I'm telling you, young Michael. Like, I don't know. The one isn't like a thing. Like, there's no the one, but there are people that can be
the one.
I agree with that.
Well, then why don't you go out there and use your little metal detector to figure out where the one is, you know? Find some coins in the sand or something. I don't understand.
Like, dollars, no pennies.
So you don't get to stick it in until you're married? Is that right?
That's the rules of the game that I am currently following, yes.
I mean, it's so much fun to do beforehand.
Oh, I'm not debating that it's not fun and that it sucks to refrain. But yes, that is the rules of the game that I'm playing.
Now, don't you think? Because even I, like, obviously I'm in love with this woman I'm married to. But I have my moments where I'm sitting there and being like, oh, remember that? Like I'll sit there and be like, oh, like 15 years ago, she was flirting with me. I should have landed that then. You know what I mean? Like, I could have done that then. Like, before I was in this relationship. Like, you know, once you get married and you're having sex, you're going to be like, oh, this is great. And this would have been just as much fun, if not funner, with some of those other girls from the Tomorrow Show that we're all talking about. Ooh, I want to. Like, you're going to be like, because, like, I hate to say this, Michael. I don't think the woman that you're going to end up marrying is going to be as hot as the girls on this show.
Thank you so much.
You know, I just don't
I mean, it's a high standard.
Sean, do you think that he's going to marry somebody who's hotter than the girls on this show?
He's a handsome fellow.
But look at the girls on this show.
It's very difficult for me to imagine that.
Right. Right. That's what I'm saying. And that's what's going to be in your head. Like,
what is she going to look like, Sam? What do you think?
I don't think she's going to be a bad-looking girl, but, like, also, you know, attractive women don't want to deal with that bullshit of, like, oh, we got to wait until I'm married. But like,
and how are you going to feel when...
Like, girls want to get laid, too.
What happens,
you know?
Right? Really,
here's my question is, like, it's really difficult to find somebody else that's never had sex before, Michael.
That's not in my wheelhouse. I'm not going for that necessarily.
Okay.
Oh boy.
All right.
Oh boy. That's gonna make it even worse.
They can't have had sex with too many people.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want someone who has majorly been around the block, but I'm not like, oh my goodness, I have to have a virgin. For me, it's more of the belief system. So if someone has,
what if she's born again? What if she was just a loose woman all throughout her young years, and she's 30, and she's like, you know what? At 30, I'm gonna be born again, because boy has Hollywood seen what I have to offer.
I'd be down with that.
Oh, boy.
He says it, but I don't know.
No, because here's the thing, because the girls that I've dated are not virgins. So,
yeah, that's
but, like,
why,
are they one-hit wonders?
That's why they left. Yeah. They're like, I know what a good time is. You know? You know? I think you should. I mean, you know. Well, you all know my opinions on it.
It is interesting that so many people talk about regretting sleeping with somebody, but people don't talk that much about regretting not sleeping with somebody. And I regret not sleeping with a lot of different people. I don't regret sleeping with anybody. Why don't people talk about that?
I don't, because it's like, because you get people like this guy in there that are like trying to make you feel bad about it. Like, yeah. I don't think anybody actually, people regret the social stigma that goes along with it. But I don't think people actually regret sleeping with a person.
Oh, I do. Come on.
Well, it was on tape.
Not that.
Oh. Oh.
No, you, just random shit that, like, you end up after the strip club in some hotel or...
Is it because it got...
STD or pregnancy?
Awkward no, after, just, or just because I didn't need that night in my life?
Everybody's drunk and, you know, just sloppy as fuck.
Yeah.
Just,
like, why do you regret it? It happened, so whatever, right?
Just, that's all I wanted. And as soon as it was done, I was like, get me out of here, you know? It was bad, because, I mean, it wasn't her fault, but it was just
did she think it
on my part.
Did she think it was different than it actually was? Like, yeah, did she not sure realize
was,
what your motivation?
Hoping it would be a lot better.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, you're kind of extreme on the other side, though, right?
As far as what?
Like, as far as like Michael's one end of the spectrum, and you're kind of—I mean, just because you had your wild days.
Yeah, but now I'm, you know, like Michael.
Now we're together.
Yes.
Yeah, but ooh, that's a development.
Well, you're not together because I talked to you about this right. on the Sirius show, and yeah. you were more like I've chosen to be that way, but if I felt like I wanted to, I would just go do
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Right.
So we're not exactly, we're not, I'm not right. exactly like Michael.
Right.
I mean, we're both celibate.
I mean, I guess I can't criticize Michael. I don't eat hamburgers. Right? I don't eat hamburgers. And everybody's like, Sam, you got to try these burgers. And I'm like, oh, it's not for me.
I feel like it's slightly different.
Yeah.
It's like a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you could eat other things. He can't do any. There's no substitute for sex.
Why don't you even.
Yeah, there is. Farrah Abraham's fake vagina that you can buy.
Is that right?
She has a sex toy vagina. It looks like a giant pelvis with a vagina and you can have sex with it.
But Michael wouldn't do that.
Why?
If you pull it up, you could see it. It's Google Farrah Abraham.
Has Michael been asked?
Sex toy
like,
vagina.
God, I got this vision of Michael fucking this.
It's literally a yeah. There it is.
Oh my goodness!
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, you can have sex with that, Michael.
Yeah, somebody's getting an early Christmas present.
Remember, she actually made one that you could stick your fingers inside, and she said it. You could feel it on your penis when your fingers
Damn,
were inside.
She could have got
wow.
pretty wild.
That is wild.
Yeah.
Now
that's what she claims.
She's anybody... got the loose meat sandwich on the freaking. On the fake vagina.
It's her vagina. That's a replica of her vagina.
That's how you know it's a real mold.
You get the nips, the lip snip.
Yeah.
What a time to be
the
alive.
The first guest of the Tomorrow Show.
Now, did she bring her fake vagina with her?
She didn't, but...
Oh, she sent one to Kevin Maria.
Oh, she did?
She sent them a fake vag.
Oh, why
serious?
Don't we have it displayed
how come
on
we don't
the,
have it here?
On the walls of, next to Captain Lou?
I don't know
really?
If it made the cut of things they kept.
Huh.
Hey, maybe.
Have you ever seen these things where you can make a mold of your own penis?
No.
The plaster casters?
Yeah. Well, not no. That's the girls. Oh. The girl from the old rock and roll days.
Right.
No, there, you could go and buy this thing and like it makes like a rubber dildo of your exact. Record.
Did you ever do that?
I tried it one time.
Who's got the? Who's got?
It
the...
didn't really work very good. Oh. It was back when I was actually together with my wife.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Wait, what, so what is it for? So that when you're gone, they can fuck your dildo penis?
I guess.
Yeah.
What do? You, like, sit with your penis in a cup of rubber for a while?
Sort of.
Huh.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly what it was, but you stick it in there and then, like, yeah, but you got to...
Fill it up?
Yeah, but the thing is you got to maintain a pretty good boner the whole time. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Like, that sucks. And how are you going to do that when you can't touch it? Because it has clay on it.
It'd be easier now with medical enhancements,
yeah.
pills.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Is that like a good departing gift?
I think so.
Maybe for your ex?
Right.
If you don't get any for a while, just
it's
remember
a, no,
me.
It's a better thing to send to your ex after. Like,
yes.
hey, guess who I was just with?
Or you can give
like,
it
you awesome. Would send that to your
you
ex.
You should send awesome. It to your old best friend that was pursuing Jess and be like, this is what she has now.
Right.
Suck it.
Yeah. Sign it,
literally.
Too, though. You
how
should sign
was,
it.
How, yeah, sign it and say, how funny was that when we were best friends for 2 weeks? You ever wonder why? Has anybody asked Michael if he has nocturnal emissions?
Oh, yeah. We talk about
his
wet dreams sometimes. They
and
happen.
Well, then why? If they're happening in his sleep already, what is the logic behind not doing it? It's happening. It's
well,
a bodily thing.
He doesn't have to apologize to God for those ones because he can't help it.
God won't punish him for things that he does in his sleep.
Yeah, but how are you dreaming about something you've never done before?
That's right.
Instinct.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe it's from a past life, which
maybe.
I don't think you believe in.
That looks like Michael.
Is he?
I don't think that's in a Christian.
Is he upset that you guys pulled up the Farrah Abrams thing, so now he knows what a vagina looks like, and he's not supposed to?
Michael's look. I just think here's the thing with Michael, and this is just I'm guessing. I think Michael is pretty worldly in every other way except for the sex thing.
Right. He's a smart guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Am I right, Michael? I mean, worldly's the wrong way to put it.
Yeah, maybe worldly's the wrong way to put it, but no, I would agree. I mean, I drink.
Learned?
Yeah.
I go out to clubs and stuff like that.
He drinks to be, acid. You know.
God doesn't mind if you drink?
I do a line of Coke with rocks like every other weekend.
Yeah. Is that right?
I wish.
God doesn't mind drugs either?
If you did some Coke, I bet you'd. Nah, but that's for women. Women do that. That's
what?
A woman thing.
Yeah.
What happened?
Women love to have sex. Let's go ahead.
If you take Coke as a woman, like if you're blowing lines, you get a little horny. But men, woo-woo.
Right.
And by the way, for you iTunes listeners, woo-woo was the sound of a penis going down.
That's kind of a universal thing.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think they knew.
Oh, woo-woo?
Yeah, woo-woo. I think they knew.
Well, I feel like you said it too chipperly. Like, woo-woo could be woo-woo.
Yeah, but you didn't say it like that.
Oh.
You didn't say it. It wasn't like a Ric Flair woo.
Oh.
You know what I mean? It was
just
like
a woo.
What
a
rip. That's like Space Mountain, baby.
What a rip, like, too. You're like totally in the mood, but your shit's just limp as a noodle.
Right. Oh.
And the girl you're with is wanting it bad.
That's when you know it's not a good drug. Because it plays tricks on you like that.
It's certainly not.
It's not healthy.
No.
I was going to ask you at the beginning, Roxy, this is what I was thinking about when I was driving here. Because you were talking about, you know, being people's Jews and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know, in my personal opinion, just based on observation, not actual conversations, but strictly observation, I feel like you are Kevin's of everybody. Everybody's special to Kevin. I feel like you are the special person to Kevin.
Really?
That's what I think.
Definitely true.
That's definitely true.
You think so, Ashley?
Like 1,000,000%.
I think you are
his special Jew.
The special person.
Am I his Jew or the special person?
Yeah.
The special person who is Jewish also.
Yeah.
Why do you think that's him?
Well, I just think that there's same reason why you're the leader in this room. You know, Kevin kind of made that so, and it's not even so much that he just went around and told everybody that. He instilled that in you, and everybody kind of just, that's just the gravitational force of the room. Everybody kind of like goes like, yep, Roxy. Like, you know what I mean? Everybody kind of turns right there, because without ever saying it, everybody just kind of knows she's the chosen one.
I feel like it depends on the week.
I don't think so.
I think.
Nope. No,
I don't think
it's
so.
It's always you.
Yeah.
Well, I'll take it.
It's
that,
always you.
That would
and as
be
a matter
true
of fact,
honor.
It's always, it's been you since I've known Kevin and you. Like, it's always been. But my question is to you.
Before you ask it, that was really sweet. So let me just remember this moment in case the question is, okay, I'm ready.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
God.
Is that with Kevin, who's a guy who gives so much to so many.
Oh, what am I giving back?
No. Does that become difficult for you? Because it's like, while you are this person's special person, this person has a lot of people. Does that make sense? Does that make sense as a question?
Totally. But I think that the more he makes everybody else's life easier and the more he gives to them,
mm-hmm.
the better they are and the more successful they're going to be and the better people they are for me to hang around with. So like by him giving to all of the people
it
that I'm friends
you.
With, it is kind of giving to
that's
me.
That's why she's the special person.
That's why she's the chosen
it.
One.
Because just like that, that's where she goes. Most yeah. people would be like, yeah, it kind of sucks because like I wish Kevin was around me more and I'm supposed to be special and blah, blah, blah. But Roxy goes right to, well, no, because everybody else is improving, and they're improving around me, which improves me, so Kevin's work comes back to me.
Not only are they improving, it's you that are helping make them improve. It's, right. you know, and it's just kind of like, you know, and then, you know, they're going to do that with other people eventually. And, I mean, that's just how it's,
yeah.
it's so fucking
she has
cool.
her shit together.
Yeah.
Like, so she's our leader.
Yeah.
She's
you didn't see yourself that
leader.
Way?
Sometimes more than others, Sam. You know, it's hard when you're in a position because, like, I think of everybody as a leader in their own way here. Like, even Michael, who I give the most amount of crap, he kills it and is such a leader in so many ways.
Yeah,
so.
But still, that I mean, you didn't think of yourself as, like, obviously Kevin's number one person?
I think that, Sam, in a lot of ways, you're Kevin's number one person.
Well, I think Kevin and me are just, like, we have a different relationship. I don't think I'm not, like, as much as I'm one of Kevin's people, I'm not, like, I'm in New York. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you are. But
like, we're friends.
You know where Kevin is?
He's in New York.
Yeah.
But I'm here. I'm here.
That is true.
On the Tomorrow Show, manning the ship for Kevin. And that's why I'm going to choose right now to take a break. We have a fabulous guest in tonight. And I didn't even realize he was in tonight until after I agreed to do this.
So you just really liked us for us.
I didn't know he was coming
in. Thank you so much.
That's right. Austin Aries is coming in. He's a professional wrestler, formerly with WWE, formerly with TNA, formerly with Ring of Honor. And he's got a new book out. He's talking about his life and his healthy diet. And he's a hell of a guy.
Yes.
I've known him for a little bit.
I'm a big
and I know
Austin
you've
Aries fan.
You've known him for a while, X-Pac.
Yeah, a long time.
And I'm excited to talk to him and for all of you to get to know him. So stay tuned to the Tomorrow Show right here as we go out to the sounds of Corey Feldman and the Angels. Yes. We know what that music is. I want to give a shout out to the Not Samsonites in the chat. I've heard what you guys are typing about. It's the Tomorrow Show. Roxy Stryer, Ashley Daniels, Sean Waltman, and our guest, Austin Aries, is here.
What's going on?
Austin.
Sam.
It's been a little while.
Man, it's been a while.
It's been a while since I've seen you. Yeah, man, you too.
I apologize. I tried wearing the shirt.
I mean,
but after about 10 minutes or so, I got really warm in there.
Yeah.
Started to itch, so I had to take it off.
You have to, like, I've told Kevin Undergaro, who usually mans this ship.
Yes.
I told him that there is literally not a single other person on Earth that I would put on a Star Trek shirt for and get on camera for. I don't do the whole, like, hey, let's wear a fun outfit thing.
Right.
No.
You look very handsome in it, though.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Well, then it's all worth it. But,
yeah, totally.
How's your life been, man?
Things are good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The new book is out?
It is.
Food Fight?
There it is.
There
Such
it is.
A very by, original title.
By Austin Aries. Yeah.
I like the title. I think it's a clever title.
It's a little cliche or whatever, but, you know, sometimes cliche is good.
Yeah. I don't mind it.
Some double meaning or triple meaning behind there. So.
Right. Yeah. It's about food.
Right.
And fighting.
And the fight that we have with the food that we eat, right? And what it's doing to us.
You're a fighter.
Right.
All right.
Grappler.
Grappler.
Yeah, it could be called grape grapple if that's what it was about. Ooh. If it was about grapes, it could be
the
called
next
grape
one.
Grapple.
All right.
Is that
I
a wine
like
book?
It.
Yeah, write about healthy wine, grape grapple.
I could be the grainy grappler.
What is it? I feel like every time I turn on Netflix or something, they're telling me there's some other food that's bad for me.
Right.
So I've decided to just go with processed foods and soda. Because I'm like, you know what? Just go to the enough with everything. Now I'm hearing corn is bad and bread is bad. Well, then fine. I'm just going to go the whole other end of the spectrum and just eat the food that originally I wasn't supposed to eat and be done with the whole thing.
Well, it's funny, but to a point, I mean, even you are like, well, water. We don't even drink water out of our taps anymore,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. They're like, no, the water's no good.
You know, I don't like fluoride personally. You know, I try to not consume a bunch of fluoride. So
do you do like the filtration? Do you have
I bought a filter that actually filters out the fluoride that hooks to your water line, like out of my fridge. So
but when you see me walking down the street with like a fountain beverage, is it just like, are you disgusted by me?
No,
me being the general me.
No, listen, like at the end of the day, like I'm a total believer in it's everyone's life. They get one of them. It's yours. And live it how you want. Don't impede on anybody else's happiness. But if you want to, you know, live fast and die young, or, hey, I love soda and donuts so much, I want to eat myself to death by 32. That's my goal in life.
By the way, I've made it to 34, so I feel like I'm winning already.
Yeah.
I said, did you win or did you lose? I wanted to cash out by 32. I just couldn't I couldn't eat enough donuts. I really, the last 2 years, I was really trying to really double down on the soda, but I couldn't get my diabetes to kick in fast enough. I might make 36.
They sneak those lettuce leaves into those chicken sandwiches. Yeah. It's like, they got me to eat a vegetable. Yeah.
Isn't it kind of wild, though, what people choose to care about? Like, you guys are getting in a car accident basically every single day of your lives, but what you put into your body, that's where we draw the line.
Well, I think that we don't really talk about it enough.
Food,
right?
You mean?
If food and the importance of it, right? I mean, is it not the single most important thing we do? Like, is not our health what we're building? Everything we're building, whether it's our careers, our families, if we're not healthy,
right?
What are we building it on? So when you start talking about, and I talk about my book, I said, we spent all this time in school and in grade school. They're teaching about pi, 3.14, anybody?
159.
Right. Yeah. Which we use all the time, right? I mean, I use it almost three times a week.
Daily,
I have to reference it.
Is it pi, you mean? Yeah.
Right, yeah, you know, like.
Absolutely.
So we spent time on this number that has no bearing in my life, but
they
didn't teach me shit about apple pie.
Right.
Or if it's good for me or bad for me or where it's coming. You know what I'm saying? Like, we don't talk about food.
But you go, it's apple. It's got to be good for me, right?
Well, it's got apples in it, sure.
Sure, you why know? Not? So, it's going to keep a lot of doctors
so,
away.
So I really think is that we don't put enough importance on food, right?
Mm-hmm.
And monetarily, one of the things people say is it's expensive to eat healthy. Well, why is food the thing that we want? Like, I like nice cars. I like nice clothes. But food I want, you know, like, I like nice food.
And
so I will pay a premium for good food because I feel like that's something that's going to pay me back.
Right.
And nobody feels good in their designer clothes, you know, driving their Benz to their chemo right. appointment going, well, right. you know what, these foods are so expensive.
I mean, the fact is, if you eat healthy and you get a good body, you can kind of wear whatever you want, right?
Well, there's that too, right? Yeah, yeah, that's
and you'll look
true.
Better wearing anything, meaning inexpensive clothes look great on
sure.
you.
Precisely.
Or precisely. Even better, no clothes.
Or right. being naked.
Great really, point. the ultimate goal, right?
No,
right.
The, you know, nudist. You're talking about the shit they teach us in school, like about which is next to nothing, but at least the things they do teach us are wrong.
Sure, yeah.
You know, the things right. that are supposed to be good yeah. for us that aren't.
Well, it depends. Wrong, it depends on who you are. Right for the guy making the money at the end right. of the train. But we got to have good consumers. And we don't want them to be too informed because that doesn't make a good consumer. So going back to the original point, man, right. hey, if you want to drink soda, you want to, hey, smoke cigarettes, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody always brings the cigarettes. If somebody smokes cigarettes for 25 years and goes, hey, I got lung cancer, there's nobody now that debates that says, well, you kind of knew that your lifestyle was leading to this.
Yeah, you did that.
We're not accepting the fact that certain types of foods have that same effect. And we need the transparency there, and we need it so that you can make informed decisions. And then we need to start talking about, should we be feeding this to kids? When you right. realize processed meats That's are right. the same classification as cigarettes, as a carcinogen, level 1 carcinogen, you go, wait a minute. Now, if it's the same classification as cigarettes, mm-hmm. well, you certainly wouldn't give your kids some cigarettes for breakfast.
When did you start studying food?
Well, in 2000, right, yeah. when I gave up meat, you know, and it really just – it came from – and I talk about in my book, really just kind of chronicles all these little points in my life that were like kind of planting seeds, pardon the pun, about connecting the food and where it comes from and the reality of what it is. And eventually those things, you know, through my life kind of took hold. And it really started with a guy just saying, hey, like red meat and pork's not good for you. You know, and I grew up in Wisconsin. You right. said it's a lot of red meat and pork and cheese. And I never thought about food like that. Like, we know, like, cake's not good for you. Like, right. we know, like, don't eat a bunch of ice cream. But, like, what do you mean, like hamburgers? You know what I'm saying? Like, I never thought of food like that, so.
Plus, in 2000, that's still, like, when a man eats red meat.
Well, a man still does. Like, I'm completely, like, I'm a complete not male.
I see. Right. I see.
It's been verified multiple times by men that because of my choice and lifestyle of abstaining from eating animals, it makes me not a man.
You know, I was just...
So. That means you weren't a good hunter.
Yeah, no, I'm a terrible hunter.
Right.
And so is every other human if you take away their weapon.
Exactly.
You're, go yeah. in the wild and see exactly where you fall on the food chain.
I was in a WWE locker room on Sunday, and I was surprised at the amount of people who are shifting more towards that lifestyle. Yes. They're not eating meat. Like yeah. it's in 2017 in pro wrestling, but I think in athletics in general, mm-hmm. it's becoming a much more prevalent thing. In 2000, this is not something people were doing.
No, it wasn't. It's changed a lot. And you know, for me, I said food's something that's important. I want to actually like know.
Yeah.
I want to like learn about it. I want to know what the numbers mean when I look at, you know, the caloric index. I want to start reading ingredients list. You know, that's the biggest thing is like, I can't buy something now and not read the ingredients list. And it goes beyond just animal products. You start talking about like red number 40 and sucralose and BHT, which is a preservative they use in a lot of cereals so it can sit on the shelf. A lot of these things outlawed in other countries, banned.
Right.
And a lot of the studies you look, they're starting to link these things, especially like red number 40. The tons of red number 40 that we use in our food system, and you look at the graph of cases of ADD and ADHD in adolescents, and they almost mirror each other.
Mm-hmm.
So the more layers you start peeling back, and then you start going, well, what, like, most people don't want to believe that the powers that be, the people that are looking over us, would allow us basically to be kept sick. But if you think about it, we've basically decided, right or wrong, whether you agree or not, that America is nothing more than one big corporation.
Mm-hmm.
We've elected corporations into power, basically.
Well, that's the argument, right? Well, we want a guy to be the president who can run a business.
Why?
Right.
Why do we decide that America, like business, is what should be the foundation of this? Like,
and
because a business has no conscience, right? Like the business only has to their only responsibility is to their shareholder.
And the government's not supposed to be making a profit either.
Well, you would like to think so. Or my whole thing is, aren't there some things that we should take profit out of? They should be sacred.
Well, that should go back to us.
Education, healthcare, our news.
Or that, yeah.
Right? Like, if you take the profit out, now it's going to change the whole system, right? So, with our healthcare system, again, our doctors aren't educated in food. the average doctor in their 4 years of medical school spends about 2.5 weeks learning about nutrition, because there's no money in healthy people. There's no money in dead people. The money's in the middle, right? Sick people.
Right.
And I want to cure you. I want to treat you.
Right.
I want you to keep coming back. If I cure you, I lose a customer. If I tell you that by eating these foods, which you have complete control over, and you probably don't need me in 3 months or 6 months or a year, that's probably not good information for my business to be sharing with you.
Right.
You know, and so when you start looking at it like that, ultimately we're the consumer, and every time we pull our pocketbook out and we buy something, we're voting that that's okay and we accept that. So really, ultimately, the responsibility does fall on us to educate ourselves and to force these corporations to change what they're feeding us. You're already seeing it happening, as you said. It's an emerging market. You have
absolutely.
There's a reason Amazon just bought Whole Foods.
Right.
There's a reason a lot of these big corporations are now buying these smaller plant-based and more organic and health-conscious companies, because there's money there.
Now, what about the people who do not have the time or the energy to invest in this? And I don't mean because they want to buy a fancy car instead. I mean the people who it's a household, it's an average household, which means both parents are working, which means they got kids that they're trying to look after, which means they're not really – I mean they got no hobby. They got no time for hobbies. Mm-hmm. It's not like they're sitting there like paying attention to this instead of food. They're just trying to live their lives, and then they want to know that if they go to the grocery store, they can pick up some green shit. And it's going to be – and it is – you know what I mean? And
right.
And I can pick up some chicken. I can pick up some lettuce. It's the basics. It's not the – it's not – I'm not getting Frosted Flakes. I'm just getting groceries, and food is food. How do the people who just want food to be food function? Because obviously, based on what you're saying, food is not food, right?
It's not. I mean,
right.
we live in a corporate food system, right?
Right.
I mean, that and, so, that's, and that's
so,
reality.
So how does the person who doesn't want to sit there and – just doesn't have time to get this full education on it, go to the grocery store and get themselves a meal?
It's a, well, so that, and that's a tough question, because it really does come down. People always say, what's the hardest part? You know, what's the hardest part? It said, for me, the hardest part is making the decision that this is important. We all have limited resources. Our resources are our time, our money, and our energy. And we decide where we allocate those and what's most important. When I decided food was important to me, I had to reallocate some of my resources. Now, what I tell people, they say it's expensive, or it's expensive to eat conveniently. When you want somebody else to do the work for you, it's expensive. Mm-hmm. If you want to eat healthy and conveniently, that's really, really expensive.
Right.
So if you can't allocate the finances, then you might have to allocate some of your time, which means you got to actually make some time to cook some food. And it's not expensive to make beans or rice or lentils or pasta. You know, like these can be staples.
I thought pasta was bad.
Oh, I mean, they're making lentil pasta, they're making pasta out of black beans, and they're making pasta out of just, yeah, if you want to go buy the 99-cent,
right,
you know, pasta, you get, what you, again, that's not necessarily going to be the best, but again, not all bread's made equal, not all pasta's not, you know, made equal.
Right.
So I said, a lot of us grow up, and I know I did, where when I thought about food, it was, do I like the way it tastes?
That's it.
How quick can I get it?
Yep.
And how cheap is it? You know?
Yeah.
And now I think of it as how good is it for me? How did it get here? And how much nutritional value am I getting for my dollar?
But don't you have those days when it's like you're out, especially a guy like you, you're on the road, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, you're driving around, you don't have all the time in the world, and you're just like, I just want to go get some, I'm hungry right now. I'm in between two things. I got this. Mm-hmm. I got this interview here before this gig, and I got to squeeze in the gym. Yeah. I just want to go grab some food that's actually satisfying to me. What do you do?
I usually like, especially traveling a lot.
Yeah.
And this isn't just me, but any diet, we travel with food,
right?
And you know, we have to. Yeah. No matter what you want, like when we travel as much as we do, your options at midnight or 1 a.m. after a show in between towns aren't going to be good no matter what you like to eat.
Popeyes.
So, you know, a lot of guys, you know, will carry, you know, tuna packets or things, right? I carry lentil packets. You know, they got whey protein powder. I got plant-based protein powder.
It used to be guys like Scott's Diner would carry big duffel bags just full of tuna.
Yeah.
He'd carry a hot plate often.
And you do
that, right? Yeah.
I've carried a Vitamix with me if I'm going to be on the road for a week or two, because, you know, I like a lot of it for breakfast, you know, make kind of a breakfast smoothie. So, again, you put some more time and thought into it, so you're prepared.
So that's
right?
What it is. It's a lifestyle change.
It is. And that's the whole thing. It's a lifestyle
right.
change. And you go, well, what are that person? So they don't have the time, or their life's busy. They got kids. Those are the people I really think that need to make the time the most.
Right.
Because that those are the people that when someone gets sick, it's going to infect them the most because they don't have that room for error, right? You know, yeah. Like they're if you're living paycheck to paycheck, you can't afford to get sick. Really sick.
Right.
So some invest the money right. invest the money in yourself in the short term so you're not paying it in the long term elsewhere.
So that's the message then is like that this is a worthwhile enough thing to think yeah. at least about making a lifestyle change. Yeah. And, like it's a healthy lifestyle. It's not just like, what am I having for lunch?
That's it. It's right. And it's not a diet. It's not something you do for a fixed amount of time until you get back in the jeans that you wore back in college.
Right.
You know, I've had this debate with my mother for years. You know, it is a lifestyle change. And the thing is, when you approach it that way, now there's no end game, but there's also not, I failed. It's you continue trying to make progress.
Yeah.
And really, you know, the message that as I'm going out and talking to people isn't about go vegan today or tomorrow, mm-hmm. or you're not as vegan as I am, so I'm going to judge you.
Right.
Right. I don't even like the word vegan because it has a lot of stigma attached to it.
Right.
You know, I like to use the word plant-based. I subscribe to a 100% plant-based diet.
Right.
Now, you don't have to be 100% plant-based diet, but I guarantee that if the more you skew and more that you add a plant-based diet to your lifestyle, the better results you're going to see. The better it is for the environment, the better it is for the animals. And anybody can do that. Anybody can start and do a meatless Mondays and just give up meat one day a week, and that's a starting point. Anybody can be more plant-based. Because, and this is what I say, I live in this extreme.
Right.
Right. 100% of the time, no animal products. I live in this extreme. I was raised, and I would suspect most of us in here were, to live in this other extreme. So I'm going to ask, what's the last meal you had, Sam? Meal, not a snack, that didn't have meat, dairy, or eggs.
What? Yeah, no. When what? Meal that didn't have any meat, dairy, or eggs?
Can you think of the last time you sat down and had a meal that didn't have meat, dairy, or eggs in it?
No.
Cheese on the pasta, egg.
Years ago. Literally.
Honestly, probably never.
Yeah.
Right. So why do we think this extreme when right. we look at all the sickness, all the cancer, all the ailments? Why is anyone going to sit here and argue that this extreme? I'm not saying my extreme is where you got to be.
Right.
It's an extreme.
There's a middle ground.
But why are we raised to think that this extreme is how it is mm-hmm. and how it's supposed to be when all the evidence tells us it's not?
Yeah.
So it's not about coming all the way over to this. But and when you say more and more people are doing it, yeah, because it's legit.
Yeah.
I don't need to shove you in the pool. Mm-hmm. People are afraid. I don't know if I'm going to be able to swim.
Right.
And if you threaten you just jump in, they go, I don't know if I'm going to swim. They're going to hightail it out of there. I go, right. Hey, just dip your toe in a little bit.
Right.
Just sit down. Next thing you dip your toe in, you go, man, this feels kind of nice. I think I'm going to put my feet in. Right. Know? Wow. I kind of feel rejuvenated. Next thing you know, you're in the pool.
Right.
And, you know, and that's the way it's got to be, you know, unless you have that strong aha moment and that conviction of like, I can't do this anymore. I just think it's a gradual thing, and you just take ownership of what you're putting in your body.
What's going through your head right now, Roxy?
Yeah. Yeah,
what the booth put up with of this girl throwing this little nice. Black boy into the pool.
Yeah, yeah. That's not right.
That's not
just
not
doesn't
right
feel like
either.
What he's saying at all.
No.
Austin.
I'm also just thinking about, like, I totally hear you, and Russell Simmons came on this show not long ago, and I sat here and I listened to him, and he's on your extreme.
Yeah.
I totally respect it. I just don't know, like, I don't know if I could ever do it.
Well, Roxy, you...
But this is where I lose people. Who's asking you to?
Right.
Who's asking you to never eat bacon again? Oh, I could never do that. Who's asking you to? But can you not implement more of a plant-based diet into your lifestyle? Could you not start substituting a meal here, a meal there, and find new things you like that don't have animal
I
products
think
in
could
it?
Is the wrong word. Right. I don't think I want to.
That's
fair. Might be a problem.
It's not a problem.
You made a physical transformation in the last, like... year or so, maybe a little bit less, year or so.
Yeah.
And there had to be a dietary change that you made.
By putting more meat into my diet.
So what did you go, what's it called, paleo?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I eat a ton of vegetables, mm-hmm. but I also eat a ton of meat. Mm-hmm. Like a ton of
meat. And she eats zero cheese.
Oh, so no.
Zero.
But that sounds like an extreme to me, because I'm like, what? No cheese.
I don't like cheese, so I hate
I love cheese.
Cheese is so bad. It makes no sense.
You're from what do you Wisconsin? Mean?
It logically makes no sense.
How so?
We're the only species who consumes milk after being a baby. We're the only species who consumes another species' milk, period.
Right.
Milk in and of itself is basically formulated to promote rapid growth. That's why we give it to adolescents.
Right.
Why do we still consume something that promotes rapid growth after we're done growing? And then why do we not find the correlation between growing things such as tumors? And why are we not putting this together and going, wait a minute?
I thought milk did a body good.
Yeah, of course, calcium.
That's what the milk people tell you. No, it's not calcium anymore. It's protein. Now they switched away from calcium because that's been debunked. It's bullshit. So now it's you need milk for protein.
So for
because you need a bunch of protein and you don't. Not one person
what about
in
for
here.
Your joints? I always hear it's for your joints.
Yeah. It's the worst shit for your joints.
What?
It is so acidic.
What's happening?
Is,
we should have known this.
It is so acidic and counterproductive to helping your body.
I was a
heal.
Gallon of milk drinker a day up until about a year ago.
So it obviously helped
and
you out.
I wish I wouldn't have been such a big milk drinker all those years because immediately my gut became less.
You drink a gallon
every
fucking day?
Everybody, every human being is lactose intolerant to some degree because we don't produce the enzyme that breaks down cow's milk because we're not cows.
Austin, one time when we were doing WCW tapings in MGM,
yeah,
we were doing WCW at MGM, yeah. And I had my family down there. I needed
sure.
some protein.
Oh yeah, perfect. It's a perfect.
So I was
doing
the cartons. I got lactose intolerant and I shit myself at Disneyland. Yeah. Yeah.
At Disneyland?
Yeah.
What people have to realize is all these things that we've been trained to think since we were a kid, that our parents were told, you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
A lot of these messages are coming from the people who are profiting from telling you need these things for protein, for calcium.
So can you be healthy while still eating meat for every meal or no?
Everyone's idea of health is different.
Oh boy!
Some people think health is you know, healthy now, healthy in 10 years, healthy in 20 years. Is it about how you look? Is it about internally what you're doing? Is it every time you eat, your feet or you're fighting disease? Right? We talk about genetics, right? Well, genetically, heart disease runs in my family, or depression runs in my family, whatever it is. And there's legitimate, like, genetically, this is true. I also believe that our dietary choices, our lifestyle choices, we either turn on or turn off these things. So we all have these things that possibly we could latch on and grow and actually, you know, whether it's cancers or these things. But every time we eat, we're feeding or fighting these things a little bit. And listen, my grandfather's 91. He's been a meat eater. He smokes cigars.
Right.
He's chocolate-covered cherries and drinks Southern Comfort. And if he was writing a book on optimal health, he's going to say, hey, I'm 91. You know, like
yeah.
So
I read that book.
There is no and this is what I always say. Hey, listen, at the end of the day, we're all just taking big educated guesses. Yeah. None of us know anything from politics to religion to health. Like all this is just made up shit, right? We made all this up. We made literally all this up. So we're all taking educated guesses, right, at the end of the day. So I'm not saying that nope, I figured it out. This is it.
But at the end of the day, you look at Austin Aries and you look at a guy who's not like this sort of protein deficient dude that's withering away to nothing. You look at a guy who's looks like a pro wrestler who's peak physical condition.
And then the opposite end of the spectrum, and this is, I think, where it touches home for me, Sean, and our fan base is a lot of kids.
Yes.
And what I've seen more and more as I'm going and signing autographs is I'm seeing 9, 10, 11-year-old kids who are already on their way to having diabetes or all these things.
Yeah.
And it wasn't because of their choice. And I don't think it's because their parents wanted them to do it. It's because they're not educated and informed because – again, that's not good for commerce.
Yeah,
it's really that simple. Like, that's bad business to have informed consumers, because if they told you in school, like, don't eat these things, they're really bad for you, well, what would you go eat when you went down to the cafeteria at lunch? Because that's the same shit they're feeding you.
Right, that's all that's there.
That's who their sponsors are. That's who's pumping money in the schools.
Right, right. Now, Sean, where did you shit yourself at Disney World?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Where?
Oh, I thought we were past that.
No, already.
Not even a little bit.
It was on Main Street, actually. Yeah. You know, it was in the daytime before the parade.
Yeah.
And I lost like 15 pounds in about a day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just because you get the shits from drinking milk?
Yeah, it was bad.
Nice.
Like people knew?
No. No, I mean, I think they knew because I'm running, you know, doing the boot scoop boogie on the way to the fucking bathroom.
Right.
But
no visual evidence.
No.
Okay.
No, and the underwear went in the fucking
trash can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. You're not new to this. Like, we know.
It's
we
not
know
the
how
first time I shit my pants.
No, no, this ain't my first rodeo.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Austin, you know C.T. Fletcher?
Who's that?
Do you know C.T. Fletcher? He's a local legend. Actually, he's a legend. There he is right there. He had a heart attack.
Building. Yeah.
He had a heart attack. He's on a transplant list, and he switched.
Sorry,
to,
who is he, Sean?
He was like one of the world's strongest men.
And, yeah, he's like strongman competition guy.
Yes, and now he's on a plant based diet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he probably could use that book.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. He's really embracing it. I mean, he has to. He has no choice.
Well, and I think that's what people are finding. It's like. Why wait till you're in that position? And then also with a lot of people too, it's like you get a lot of pushback. And my whole thing is like, well, what's the downside? You know, like if it doesn't work or it doesn't, like, hey, you can go back to what you were doing. Like no one's going to say like, well, there's statistics that say you get a lot sicker if you cut out saturated fat and cholesterol from your diet. Like nobody says that, right? Like, oh, but yeah, but you know, I need iron. I'm iron deficient. If you're sick because of a plant based diet, it's just because you're not doing it right. I mean,
have you gotten any backlash from wrestling fans either because of what you talk about or what's in the book that it's not like? Because the thing about wrestling fans is they like wrestling and they're like, oh no, Austin Aries, I want to hear about wrestling. And then when you're actually giving them something like this, which to me is like fascinating and actually stuff that like has a lot of takeaways to your life.
Yeah. Well,
a lot of wrestling fans might turn around and be like, I thought we were going to get wrestling stories.
But I don't think at any point when I was even promoting or talking about this book did I try to disguise it as being about wrestling.
Right.
Like this does talk a little about my wrestling, but it's really how these two journeys kind of parallel and intersected. But it really is more about how I went from being a brat eating, you know, cheesehead from Wisconsin to now this, you know, plant-based athlete, you know, and just sharing my story because, again, all these little events – throughout my life kind of led me to this. And so, you know, hey, if someone reads this and it plants a couple seeds that maybe 5 or 10 years down the road helps improve their life or help make them decisions that improves their life, that's cool, you know.
And
if anything else, like, you know, maybe they just throw it in their bathroom for people to read when they're taking a dump or something.
And somebody who's taking a dump.
Which, you know, hopefully is not in their pants at Disney World.
But if they drank a bunch of milk, it could take a while.
Very well,
I remember one time I asked you if you want to go have some sushi. I wasn't sure what kind of deal you were doing.
Yeah.
You told me I don't eat anything with a face.
Yeah.
Well, is that still the deal? So is there anything alive that you do eat, like as far as that's not plant-based?
Try to keep my head, keep my mind out of the gutter here as I answer your questions.
Like an oyster
Which is a little difficult
like
for
that.
Me. So my mom kind of ruined me on seafood at an early age, right? Like she bought me some the generic fish sticks or whatever, like not even the Mrs. Camps. It was
the store brand.
It was like,
like cardboard.
It was like Ms. Campos or whatever, the K. Like, like we grew up, we didn't get Fruit Loops, we had Fruit Rings.
Right.
You know, it was just like.
You had the cereal in the bag, not the box.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and so just these awful, like, soggy fish sticks. Yeah. And like, from that day on, like, just any type of seafood fish. I can't really hack it. Yeah.
But that's not for dietary reasons. You just don't like it.
No, I mean, no, I just never liked it. So I never had to think of it as far as dietary things. I mean, listen, you know, again, what level of health are we talking? Because is fish better than pork? Sure. Does fish have other issues because we contaminate pollute our waters? Yes. Or farm fishing has its own issues. I mean, yeah.
Is this why you were showing up on TV all the time with a banana in your pocket? Because you were like, hey, this is just a little subliminal. You should be eating more natural foods.
You know what? So everyone goes, hey, what was with the banana? And I go, yeah. but like, just tell me, like, what was the story? What was the whole thing with the banana? Exactly.
Right. Precisely.
Yeah. I'm just going to say this about the banana.
Right.
That Hall of Fame is long. Okay.
Right.
And I saw lots of people dressed to impress that night.
Sure.
Not lots of nice suits, lots of nice dresses. But I'm gonna tell you something. About 3.5 hours in, I guarantee about 40% of that audience wish they had a banana in their pocket instead of a pocket square.
Yeah.
Because I got famished. I was running low on some energy.
Right.
And that pocket square wouldn't do me any good.
There's no potassium.
But I got a nice little shot of some natural sugars and potassium. And then I just used my sleeve to wipe my mouth off. I didn't need the pocket square. So sometimes a thing comes in handy in a pinch. You never know.
It really was amazing. Because after that, I mean, I thought it was just genius. Because people were like, hey, what was the deal with that? And then you said, yeah. And then from that point on, anytime there was a suit jacket, not too far behind was a banana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm starting to see people adopt it. And when you think about it, oh, man, look.
I mean, you made the banana one of the most over things on TV. It was really remarkable.
And he's not, like, just saying that. Like, that's really all there is to the story. Because right. he told that's me it. The story. Like,
So I find a lot of times, especially nowadays, like, we need – everything has a reason.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
Everything is – it's been written for a specific reason. Or if there's any question to why it's there, we're going to tell you at the end of the hour, the end of the week, or the end of whatever, right? So there's no intrigue in anything.
Right.
Like, all these shows are live, but I can predict and tell you everything that's going to happen, every break they're going to go to, when they're going to come back, everything.
Right.
There's nothing unpredictable about this whatsoever.
Right.
So when all of a sudden some guy randomly has a banana in his pocket.
Right.
And we're like, well, what's with the banana? Exactly.
Right. That's what's with the banana. You exactly. What's with the
you
banana?
You actually are asking
a
question and you're intrigued about something. How right. how refreshing.
Right.
And the minute I tell you why the banana, now you don't care. And maybe right. there isn't a why, and maybe there is, and maybe I'm never going to tell you.
But the why is the why. That is the why. So
right.
when you
but
said
in this
exactly,
day and age where everyone has to have the answer to everything, when you don't give it to them.
Right. But that's what people – when you said exactly – do you understand, Roxy? When you said what's with the banana and he said exactly – he's not being a smartass. The purpose of the banana is so
yes.
you ask him what's with the banana. So when you ask him, he goes, yep. You understand?
And there's nothing better yeah. there's nothing better than people than when people now see bananas, they think of me.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Or people are asking me about my banana.
Yeah, I mean.
What's up yeah. with your banana?
Well,
what about it?
Now that you ask.
Does a body good. That's not unlike milk.
So is that part of being a part of your life? Like your wife, for example, does she have to subscribe to the food psychology that you have, or your family that's around you have to subscribe to the food psychology?
I found for me personally that it would be really difficult. I think to live in an environment where I didn't share that with the people
of course.
In my household.
Passionate about it.
And I said this, and it's weird because I had this debate. I said, you know, if someone's gonna move into my house, and I said, hey, like, yeah, it's totally cool, you know, don't mind, you know, sharing this place. I'm really uncomfortable with you keeping dog in the refrigerator, though. Like, it's just culturally, like, it makes me uncomfortable. I know you're from another country, but keeping dog in the fridge makes me uncomfortable. And if I said that to some, none of you here would be like, well, that's not unreasonable. Like, man, if there was like dead dog in my fridge, I'd feel weird about it.
I wouldn't like it.
Right?
Yeah.
Like if it's being cooked on the stove and right, like it would bother you.
It would bother me.
But when you change DOG to PIG, now all of a sudden I'm weird and I'm oppressing my shit on people. And,
right.
Right. And it's just a weird thing. Right.
Yeah.
So when I try to when I put it that way or cigarettes, right? Like if you didn't like smoking, like you probably wouldn't want to live with someone who smokes cigarettes. It would bother you.
Right.
To a certain point.
You don't want the smell. Yeah.
Because it is a lifestyle choice and it's also a way you kind of see the world and your place in it. That can be – and then when you start talking about having kids, how are you going to raise kids?
So you have
that's a whole nother slippery slope.
Do you have
right?
a plant-based household?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
For that reason?
And I love to cook my girlfriend doesn't,
mm-hmm.
and previous relationships, that's kind of been the case. So mm-hmm. a lot of times by default, they eventually become plant-based because I'm the one always making the food. And then when they start realizing yeah. like, wow, this is all really good. And I love finding and making stuff that I used to like, or people like used to eat.
Sure.
Excuse me. And recreating it plant-based style.
What about that?
I'm going to say I never burp. Like I don't burp. It's like one of my things. Wow. I can't burp. So that was kind of a monumental right there, just for you guys and your listeners on your show. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I told you I was going to give
time
you
on that one.
Yeah.
Write that down.
Yeah, maybe these plants aren't so effective.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah,
that's not good. That's not good. Roxy, what about that? What if you had a dude who would cook you up these fabulous meals all the time, and he's like, look, I made you dinner again, and it's this fantastic, satisfying dinner.
What's your favorite food? Just out of curiosity. What's your go-to?
What do you like?
Probably bacon.
Ribs.
You like bacon?
No, I
big
don't.
Ribs,
she does.
Girl. Oh, I see.
It's not my go-to. You can't have ribs all the time because you feel like crap. But
that's the beauty of plant-based food is sometimes you can actually have those things all the time and not feel like crap. It's really weird.
Yeah, and I like plant-based food.
Yeah,
I just like meat more. And
you like flavors more
oh,
because
yeah.
you just said I like ribs. What's on ribs?
Well, I like sauce. Different ways. So I like
just,
barbecue
You just boil them in water. No, you don't put any spices or sauces on there. You just eat the, right?
Well, I put spices on my vegetables, too.
Of course
sure.
we do, because we like flavors.
But Guy Fieri, baby, spice. Flavor Town. Right. Flavor Town.
Flavor Town. Yeah. It's all about flavors.
It's all about flavors.
So. I don't think I could date a vegetarian, to be honest, Sam. So
not even,
you
won't even go so far as a vegan, but a vegetarian.
Well, more so because I'm one of those people, when you go out to dinner with me, I insist that we split both things.
Mm. Oh yeah,
I'm
we
one of those. I
you couldn't
yeah.
even get along
things.
With me then. I mean, I'm just a kind of a picky eater.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You're not going to do the red meat.
No.
So.
No.
Yeah.
Me either.
I mean,
how about this? You are pushing your lifestyle on people far more than my friend Austin Aries is.
For
this is
true.
I think so, don't you?
Sure.
Yeah.
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 Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What about you, Ashley?
He's very non-pushy.
Yeah.
I like that.
He's just an educator.
Here's the thing. I don't need to sell it because it's legit, right?
Oh, totally.
So like, I don't. Hey,
I'm not
trying to.
You,
I'm, you know, and that's my whole thing. There's no reason to be pushy.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Totally. Ashley, are you a?
I don't really eat. Honestly, I don't like meat. It's not like I have a title to it. I just prefer not to eat meat. But
you do eat it.
If I do eat it, it has to be really cooked, like burnt. She knows. Roxy knows. If I get chicken, it has to be grilled, like so. It's like. Black.
Isn't that more dangerous? Isn't there more carcinogens when you burn something?
Probably. It's probably nothing healthy involved in eating burnt meat, but I have to have it like burnt.
Right. So
I'm picky like you though.
But you're fairly plant based?
Yeah.
I see.
Definitely.
Yeah, she has like a bowl of cauliflower and calls it a night. Nothing on it. Yes. Oh,
you put hot sauce on it or anything?
You're a buffalo cauliflower before? Buffalo cauliflower? Like the millie. Buffalo.
Oh, actually, I did try that recently at Air One.
Yeah,
Air
go to Sage. Sage is a good spot. They got really good buffalo cauliflower wings. And there's a couple locations around here.
What do I look? I need to improve my diet because as I'm getting older, my skinny fatness is shifting to one side, I find.
What do you mean by skinny fatness?
The backside or the front side?
Yeah. What's skinny fat?
Skinny fat is what, like,
I'll show you my picture from college if you want.
No, I don't know for a guy.
Do you think I'm fat?
Not at all.
But I'm not in good shape at all.
I mean, I you look great in that Star Trek shirt.
I have to be careful. Can I tell you something? If I took my shirt off, you wouldn't be like, oh, man, Sam's in great shape. You'd be like, yeah, he could tone up. Yeah.
Or like,
guys don't get cellulite like girls get cellulite.
You grab someone's arm and it's like you grabbed a bag of marshmallows.
That's it. That's it.
Like, oh.
That's what your arm's like?
No, Roxy.
But
I'll inform
you. I'm not
my
saying
arm
Sam's arm. I'm saying.
I gotta ask you.
But don't grab it.
You don't miss macaroni and cheese at all.
I eat macaroni and cheese all the time.
How do you make it
with
fake cashew cheese? No, not fake cheese.
Oh.
You make cashew cheese.
Yes, I've tried that. It's delicious,
you,
actually.
That
is delicious.
Oh, and it's high. So literally, I have a picture. Actually, they just I think Men's Health just had me an online article. They had some different recipes on there. Uh-huh. So I. Do like a lentil mac and cheese. So you use lentil pasta with the cashew cheese, and like per bowl it was like 30 some grams of protein. You know, and then also too, when you look at the ingredients list, it was literally lentils, cashews, nutritional yeast, lemon juice, and that was it.
So no gluten.
Legit question, how much does that cost compared to regular mac and cheese?
About as much as your hair gel. You got to make choices. Okay?
So the box of the pasta was probably about $3, and then your cashews were probably the most expensive thing on there. So you buy your bag of cashews, you're probably looking at $7.
You make your own cashew cheese then?
Yeah. So you buy your cashews for about $7-$8. Yeah. The nutrition. Yeah. I mean, so for the whole thing, maybe, and you're not going to use that whole thing of cheese just for that dish. So you may be looking at maybe $8 to $10 for a whole thing of mac and cheese that you're going to get 6 servings out of.
That's a great deal.
Now, again, if you were to go out to eat, you would pay that for the one serving.
Absolutely.
And you would have no control over what was in that.
Now,
I know
you like it. But like somebody that's used to regular mac and cheese, they eat that. How do they usually?
Well, I mean, listen.
Not as good, not as much Flavor Town.
I mean, I'm like addicted to mac and
you
cheese.
Can,
so like,
and here's the other thing. You can get – there's all different – vegan mac and cheeses. Like Amy's makes a frozen one that's really.
Do you like frozen stuff? There's a lot of sodium in that.
There is. Here's the thing. Eating plant-based doesn't necessarily mean eating healthy. Processed food's processed food. Yeah. Sodium. Sugar. You know, I could eat Oreos, nothing but Oreos, and be vegan. It doesn't mean I'm healthy.
Right.
I mean, there you go, Sam. You don't go vegan. You just go
Oreos.
The straight Oreo diet.
I have the Oreo
iceberg lettuce diet. Yeah, it's completely plant-based. Get hydrate, you know.
So this is – this. Yeah, exactly. This is what I want to know, though. Like, I'm a picky eater as it is. I like certain – tastes.
Sure.
I like textures. I'm that person.
Mm-hmm.
I need more vegetables in my diet, but the vegetables that I eat, raw carrots, I'll eat raw celery, mm-hmm. I'll eat cooked corn.
You'll eat these things or you like these things?
No, I like these things.
Corn's just roughage. That doesn't really do
it. Doesn't count,
for
does it?
Plus they putting that in everything anyway. You get plenty of corn.
Corn is the original genetically modified food.
Well, look, don't spoil this for me.
Yeah, it's...
I eat lettuce and tomatoes.
Okay.
Right? So, like... What do I
like
need?
Like just lettuce in general?
Well, on a salad, Roxy.
What kind of lettuce? Well, yeah, iceberg lettuce?
No. I know that iceberg lettuce isn't actually anything.
It's just water.
Water. Right. No, it's stuff. There has to be a little bit of
green.
I like the green if I'm going to eat lettuce.
That's right.
It's got to have chlorophyll.
It's got to have that green.
Right. Yeah. Right. So what do I need? What do I need to incorporate? I'm not interested in going purely plant-based.
Fine.
I'm going to keep part of them. I need to keep some of my stuff, you know. But I need to bring in more.
Yeah.
So what would you say, if we're hanging out, what do I need to do just a little more of, to not go to the extreme, but to take myself a little bit out of my extreme?
So I'm a big I like to plug Vitamix a lot, right? Mm-hmm. Vitamix is like the Cadillac of blenders.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not necessarily cheap, but they last a long time, mm-hmm. and I use mine every day. So why I like the Vitamix is for breakfast, for me, I'm not hungry when I get up, but you talk about getting greens in there. I'll do some oats, banana, frozen blueberries, frozen kale, frozen spinach, maybe some plant-based protein, and blend that up as breakfast. But it's a great way.
I can deal with all those things.
It's a great way to hide. All of a sudden, you just had a cup or two of kale or spinach right off the bat.
But that banana and that blueberry all disguise the taste.
You don't taste it at all.
Right.
Yeah, you really don't. That's going to give you the sugars. And, for me, it's great. You're going to get some complex carbs with your oats. You're going to get some fruit sugars. You're going to get your protein with the plant-based protein powder greens.
What is your plant-based protein powder of choice these days?
So Vegan Smart's a new one that I've been kind of digging.
Yeah.
It tastes really good. For a long time, I've used something called Plant Fusion.
And what is it, like a hemp or a pea
it's
protein?
It's usually a rice, like rice, hemp, and pea. Because what I found is so rice protein can be real chalky by itself.
Yeah.
Hemp protein, which is actually complete protein, can be a little gritty. And then the pea protein seems to kind of mellow them all out. So that, and then it also gives you the complete amino acid profile. And you've seen a lot of athletes switch to that because they're realizing like, man, I'm not getting bloated. I'm not getting indigestion and that I'm getting off all the way. And for a lot of people, they're getting so much dairy in their diet as it is. To switch out your protein powders is just an easy thing to do.
I do with my milk now is they make a Silk makes like a cashew milk that has pea protein in it. So you get 10 grams of protein.
Yeah.
In a glass, just like drinking milk.
Yep. If I could incorporate two new vegetables into my diet, not talking shakes, I'm just talking about when you get your dinner, this is what's on the side. What would those two new vegetables be?
What about zucchini? I feel like that's a good one.
You think zucchini is the one?
Zucchini is okay.
I need the most bang for my buck here.
I think when you stick to your dark green... Your dark greens are your best. So your kale, your spinach, your broccoli, your Brussels sprouts.
Brussels sprouts.
But it's not about two. It's about a variety. If you like beets, beets brings a whole nother bunch of vitamins and minerals. But like you want things with dark colors. You want things that things like zucchinis and squash. Those are kind of more fillers and they have some things in them.
But if I start eating a whole bunch of like just leafy stuff, if I just eat a bunch of kale. Raw spinach is fine, right?
It's fine.
Kale,
and the stuff frozen, too, doesn't really compromise the nutritional value, but allows you to keep it in your freezer and not have it go bad, after a week or two. And that's why I put a lot of it in smoothies and stuff.
But if I start eating kale, raw spinach, and lettuce on the reg,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
am I gonna improve things inside?
Yeah, I think... It could give you, a full head of hair like Fabio, I'd say, in about maybe...
Really?
18 months or so. You just stuck with it. It would naturally straighten it first.
Yeah, is that right?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I don't know if I want to do that. Then.
Oh.
That'd be bad for branding.
I had long hair once, and mine starts to curl up a little bit as it gets longer.
Right.
And then I took my girl's straightener to it at the time, and
awesome. Just felt luxurious.
I looked a little too pretty. I started checking myself out when I walked by. I said,
like, Whoa, who is that?
Who's that? Oh, that's
you. That's
you're talking about, the sugars you get, like the blueberries and things like that. Like, how are you on your sugar intake overall? Because, I mean, even
even though they're natural, even some fruits, I mean, it's a lot of sugar.
Yeah, it can be. It's weird. I tell people I eat like a high carbohydrate, moderate fat, moderate protein diet. Like, I don't really shy away from carbs too much. My body
to work for you very
well. And my body type, to be fair, like I've always had a hard time keeping size on regardless. So, so everyone's body types can be a little different. And so that doesn't necessarily work for everybody, right. But you know, I always have like these upper limits where it's like, hey, you never want to consume more than like this in a sitting because you're just wasting it. And especially with sugars, you know, like just being mindful of like, here's my threshold of, yeah, I really shouldn't be consuming over 25 grams. Like 25 grams of sugar is a lot, right? And if that's a dessert or something like that, and you're going, all right, and you start getting over that, and then we start looking what's in the soda, you're going, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, and kids are drinking this, right? Yeah. Can I say that on here?
You can.
Yeah, yeah. Holy shit. Look, we just did it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Certain sugars, like acai bowls, do you have those?
Yeah, I've had some.
Okay, so those have like a lot of sugar in them. I mean, I eat one like every day, and I put vegan protein in it,
and
I mix almond butter in it, bananas.
Very trendy.
Yeah. But there are tons of sugar in it. Yeah.
Well, and I think so too, like understanding that eat when you're eating for performance as opposed to pleasure. Like, I know when to consume my meals that have more sugar, right? So in my morning when I need to get some energy and get my day going and I'm fasting, I want to get some nutrients and stuff in my body quickly. Yeah, I want a little bit of sugar, a little bit of carbs, a little bit right off the bat. Right after a workout when I need to replenish my carbohydrates, I can eat something like that and take in more sugars as opposed to doing it at 9 at night before I'm getting ready for bed. I'm not going to be using that energy.
What's the cutoff time to eat?
Acai bowls?
Anything.
Oh. I mean, I don't – they usually say, like, you don't want to really eat, like, 2 hours before you go to bed is good to give everything a chance to digest.
Huh.
But then again, if you're trying to pack size on and you're doing that, then you might actually have a shake right before you go to bed to have calories while you sleep. You know, it all depends on your goals.
Yeah.
Interesting question for Sam. Star Drew wants to know, what do you think of apple juice?
Apple juice is terrific.
Great.
Yeah, apple juice is great. You like apple juice, right?
Not a huge fan of apple juice.
Why? It's sweet. It's good.
Yeah, it's just, again, you want to talk about sugars.
I mean,
like,
there's
a lot of sugar.
Yeah,
and that's the thing with juices, right? It's like you're stripping all the fiber and all the stuff. You're just basically just drinking the sugar.
Right, just the sugar part.
Yeah.
The good part.
Yeah, just give it to kids. And
right.
Go,
yeah,
now,
yeah, right.
Now go and now sit still. listen, ADD is very much a thing, but giving some kids 50 grams of sugar at lunch and then telling them to sit still and pay attention is also a thing too.
I don't even think about that. Parents don't think about juice having sugar. They don't even. They think it's healthy.
Sure.
Because
putting it in a bottle.
I got to tell you, I have a 7-month-old, and I watch him right now at this stage in his life. He freaks out over water. Like, water is like this amazing, like, oh, my God.
Oh,
like, he loves water.
Maybe he'll end up working for Nestle in his future. He's going to try to own it.
Yeah.
Right? Take over the water supply.
But, like, it's because he hasn't, like, had anything yet. He's got those baby pouches, you know, with baby food in it.
Right.
He's had mom's milk,
and
then water is like this amazing treat.
Yeah.
And all I'm doing is looking at him going like, the minute that we start getting you on juice, you're never going to drink water again.
Never.
Well, and the
never.
Thing is our taste buds are very, very adaptive, right? And there's a lot of things I grew up drinking and eating that now since I've changed my diet that if I were to, you know, soda's an example, I drank a lot of it as a kid.
Yeah.
I maybe have a soda like once a year and have a hard time maybe getting the whole thing down in one sitting. It's very sweet. It's very sugary. So when you talk about like the mac and cheese, for example, does it taste just like it? Yeah, maybe not the first time. If you're comparing it, you know, if you're trying to compare it like side by side, no. But if you stick with it in a couple weeks or a month, that's the flavor you're not going to crave. That's what you're going to think of when you think
of
macaroni and cheese. You know, our taste buds adapt. And right now we're on hyperdrive when it comes to like sugars and salts and fat, right? Like we're just the corporations know that we're predispositioned to seek those things out because that's our hunter-gatherer mentality. Those are the things that when we had to go find our food gave us the most bang for our buck. So we're predispositioned to seek them out. But we don't have to go hunt our food. We literally can walk in any place and buy it. But they know that, so they just keep selling us sugar, fat, and salt, and we just keep consuming it because that's what we like.
It's funny that you say that about having trouble finishing a soda because it reminds me there's a – I mean, you know him well. There's a wrestler named Bryan Danielson, who – yeah,
the Yes Guy, right?
You've heard of him, right?
Yeah, The Yes Guy, yeah.
So he – when he first started with WWE, he was on this kind of ridiculous show that at the time was called NXT. Now it's something different, but it was like a – reality wrestling kind of merging thing where they would make the guys do just ridiculous tasks that kind of made no sense. And one of them was like this obstacle course. And this guy is like a highly competitive athlete. But one of the things was you have to like run up the stairs of the arena while the show's on. And it's a live TV show. You have to run up the stairs to the arena, go to the concession stand, chug a soda, run back down, do the whole obstacle course, blah, blah, blah. And I'm watching this guy on TV. And he's doing all the physical stuff. And he's running up the stairs. And he gets to the concession stand. And I mean, when I tell you, I watched a guy spend 2 full minutes of live TV just
trying to
not being able to get the soda down. And
believe it.
And the first time I interviewed him, I was like, what was that? Because it just stuck in my mind of like, it's television. Like, what are you doing? And he was like, well, I don't drink soda. So I can't.
Between the sugar and the carbonation, it can burn.
That's what he said. I couldn't do it. Yeah. And it's amazing to think about, like, you know, you get used to it. But, but when you stop and you spend some time, going back to it is not – it's just as hard as stopping it.
I don't know if anyone smoked cigarettes in here. I smoked cigarettes for like 5 years. Started when I was like 15.
I remember when I was still smoking. Like, remember we were out one night, and you're like, "Let me have a little. I'll light that for you."
That was my gimmick. I wouldn't buy them, or I don't smoke, but I'll light it for you. Just get that one at a time. Just remind myself why I quit, because literally it tastes like shit. And now that I know I can say it, I'm gonna use it liberally.
Yeah, you do it.
It tastes like shit, and you're like, "My God, like, right, like."
So that's what you do. You take one puff. Like
How I quit. Yeah.
So that way you'd remind yourself, I don't like this.
Or initially I just said, you know what? Like, I'm not going to give my money anymore to this. And if I'm going to smoke something, it's not going to be cigarettes. So I gave that up. Right. And, but what I did, cause like at the time I was a bartender, I was in college, you know, if you're out with your friends and everyone, you know, instead of having them on me, I would just, you know, you can only bump so many drags or cigarettes a night before your boys start going, hey, go get your own. So you had your limit, but it helped wean me off, right? Like in that moment, because really it was a habit thing, and most of the habit was when you're out partying drinking. So that was when I just do the, oh yeah, let me light that for you. And I just kind of carried that gimmick, you know, on, you know, sporadically, not too much anymore because I don't have any desire to do it. But
right,
I always tell people, like, if you're a smoker and then you get like that week or two where you actually don't do it, and then you go back and have that drag, like, it tastes completely different and it tastes nasty. Food and stuff can be very much like that. Or, you know, I've watered down a lot of my juices for years because I find it too sugary, you know?
Wow.
And then also what that does is it stretches out, you know, don't buy the low sugar orange juice, people. Just buy the regular orange juice and add your own water, because that's all they're doing to it. Just a little tip, like, instead of you'll get twice as much.
Did you ever encounter, because you've been successful in wrestling for a long time, you went WWE,
it depends
TNA,
who you ask,
Ring of Honor. I think.
Depends what you, determine success. What's success?
Well, you've had some titles.
Yeah, you know, I have.
Yeah. So
well, that's the determining factor, then.
Obviously, right?
Have you encountered...
I had a lot of belts. I've had some
straps.
Belts. I've had some straps and belts in the pro wrestling world. You know what I'm saying? All these feuds I've had.
I'm sorry. I don't know. Those words don't mean much to me. But,
I'm sorry. I'm not looking in the camera when I'm saying this, am I? I wouldn't want to make a connection with anybody.
But question being, did you early on have to deal with promoters that maybe didn't take you seriously when they found out that this was the way you lived your life?
Oh, no. I dealt with promoters not taking me seriously just because I was small, probably long before the vegetarian thing ever came into
play.
But
so when you're small, and then they also find out you're a vegetarian, isn't that worse?
That may be like the hugest pussy, right? Like, I'm like the no, man, you know what? Because it's not something that I didn't like really put it out there. I never was like, hey, everybody, just so you know, now I'm now a vegetarian. It's like, it's my thing. And I don't want to put anybody out. I don't like, I feel bad when people feel like they need to cater to me. That's why I always try to be prepared. This is my decision. And I know that in the society I live in, like, I'm the exception to the rule.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so that's cool. I'm not asking everybody else to, you know, cater to me, but I also feel like just be mindful and I don't need commentary about your dietary choices when you find out mine, like, especially in restaurants. Like, I've completely changed how I talk to waiters and waitresses, and I come from the service industry. But when you just tell them, like, hey, you know what, I'm allergic to meat, dairy, or eggs, they don't feel the need to come back and go, oh, well, I could never not eat bacon. But when you tell them, hey, like, I don't, you know, I'm plant-based, I don't eat any, and they just go, well, man, I could never do that. Well, that's cool. I really didn't need that information. Like, you know, so now I just tell them I'm allergic, and then I say, is there any egg? Do you guys use any egg in this pasta? I'm not really sure.
Yeah, well, I'm allergic.
was that the end of the, was that the end of, were we going to find out, or was that just the end of it? Yeah. Just, I'm not really, literally, I've had the conversation. Oh, I'm not really sure. Let's look at me. I'm like,
right.
So that will kill me. So yeah. Did you maybe like,
yeah, maybe do you want it or not?
You know, yeah. And I'm not lying, because I do think like in 30 years, all that shit really could kill me like faster. So like I'm allergic. It's just a long-term allergy, not a short-term. I'm not just going to blow up at some hives in the moment, but you know, I could get cancer in 30 years from this shit.
So like earlier when I told you that I could never do that, you had that flashback in your mind. You were like, fuck, I hate when people say
it's
that.
It's just a common thing. Like people feel the need, and it's like, and that's why I was coming back with, hey, like I'm, no one's asking you to, or like, I could never not eat bacon again. Cool. Like no one's saying you can. That doesn't mean that you can't implement more of a plant-based lifestyle. Doesn't mean that you have to never have a Big Mac again. Like these things, hey, newsflash, everybody.
Right.
Life is more than black and white and red and fucking blue. Okay. And we got more than two choices, and we can try to find the common ground in the middle. And I feel like what they do with everyone, and especially with all the other things going on in the world, is they want to put everybody in either you're on this side or you're this side. And nobody wants to try to go, well, I can maybe never be exactly like that, but I can try to meet common ground. And with this is the same thing, you know, it's, hey, that's cool. You could never do it. I'm not judging you for not being able to, for being able to. I'm just saying that, hey, more of a plant-based diet is probably beneficial in a lot of different ways, and that's the message I'm trying to put out there. And
I think it's and you don't come off judgmental at all.
No, but I get hot sometimes. No, I'm just kidding. But,
you know, Roxy was talking about Russell Simmons being a guest on tomorrow's show. I wasn't here for that, but I remember when he was on Maria Menounos' show. He does come off a little bit judgmental.
Right.
And is telling you that you're not a good, you know, steward of the earth.
Well,
because,
he,
you know,
he's figured out the way he thinks. Like, he's not like you in this.
No.
I think that turns people off.
I'll be honest. There's a part of me that absolutely can feel that way.
Sure.
Right? But what I've realized is that to me, that doesn't move the middle, right?
That's right.
I'm never going to, like, the people on these extremes and stuff, like, why go after them? I want to move the middle over, right? And you don't do that by excluding people. You know, I do feel that the decision I make is because I look at the planet differently. I look at other living creatures differently. I talk about in the book, one of the early moments, the seeds that were planted for me, I didn't know at the time, was my grandparents had a farm. You know, they had cows, they had chickens, and that my dad grew up on that. That was, you know, how they made their money. And I remember being about, you know, probably 6 or 7 years old, and we'd feed grass to the cows through the fence.
Right.
And the grass is over there, and the cow's over there, and he's eating the grass, and he's kind of licking my hand, and we're literally just staring at each other's eyes. And there was this moment as a kid where I realized, like, wow, like, that's looking, there's a connection there, right? Just as two living things. Like, I'm feeding this thing, it's eating, we're looking at each other, and, like, there was this connection that as a kid was the first time I had that, right, with an animal. And then it was dinner time, so you're over there, you're chowing brats and Italian sausage or whatever, and for the first time I think I kind of made the correlation of what this was and that was, and it didn't sit right. But at that age, like most of us, we do what we're told, right? We that's what everyone does, that's normal,
right?
Like, it's what we eat. Like, these are pets, these are food.
Yep.
But for me, like, it's hard for me, what's the difference, right? Like, a pig's really smart. Like a pig, you know what I'm saying? Why does it make a difference than a dog?
Well, the difference to me, and I thought about this, because there was like, okay, the Yuling Dog Festival stuff.
And a lot of people were like outraged.
Yes.
It's like, wait,
I'm outraged over it.
Go watch the Nathan's Hot Dog Contest.
Well, and then somebody brought that
up. Pigs are not loyal.
Well, somebody brought that up, and they talked about, well, you're being hypocritical. And it is kind of, but the thing is, and people are so, what's the difference? The difference is our relationship with that animal.
But that's learned. Because
that's the difference, though.
But just because someone said that's how it is doesn't mean it's how it should be or needs to be.
Because I
look at human nature, and if I put a baby into a crib with a kitten, a puppy, a piglet, and a little chick, it's not going to innately go to pet the kitten and the puppy and then go to try to strangle the piglet to make bacon out of it. That's learned.
Wait till it finds out how good bacon is.
That's learned. That is a learned behavior.
Sure.
The ones that we pick for pets and the ones that we pick to kill and exploit, that's a decision that we've just decided. That's not how it is or
way
it is.
That's true.
That's something we've decided. So we just need to change the mindset.
I need a dog and a human.
You know?
You'd eat a dog. You'd eat a human.
And a human. Yeah, I think I'd eat all.
Eat
of
a
it.
Human.
Like, you'd
sure.
be
like yeah. if it was not illegal and against societal norms.
Mm.
And I did. Big, yeah, I
you know, from Wisconsin, we honestly, eat people. That was one of my lines in college. That was right after the Jeffrey Dahmer stuff.
Yeah,
you always ask people, "Where are you from?" Oh, I'm from Milwaukee. We eat people.
Definitely, if I had to, like, if I was on an island, everybody else would be fucked. You're savage. There wouldn't be that, like, should I not do this?
Yeah,
you're a savage. Well, Austin Aries, where can people find the book? Where can people find out about you? That's the question.
The book would be austinariesbook.com, probably the easiest way. Or you can go to my Twitter at Austin Aries. I'll be at Vegas Veg Fest this Saturday speaking, jumping on my soapbox and shaming everybody for their bad decisions while eating bananas and throwing peels at them. Or maybe signing them and giving it to some lucky kid. I tried putting the banana peel on the kid like Bret Hart's sunglasses, but he looked so terrified. I just went to the banana peel bracelet instead.
Yeah.
But there was something to me funny internally about making people clamor over my banana peel.
Yeah.
Because literally people, if it's free, they don't care what it is. They will trample each other for it.
Yeah.
And then in the back and go, oh, I guess this doesn't really have any value anyway.
I think you can still get there.
I think biodegradable merchandise is where it's at because I have to keep buying it.
Right. I think it's so smart. Buy the book, everybody. Austin, very, very interesting stuff. Thank you for your
Thanks
time.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Yes. And we'll be back. Or are we leaving or are we back?
Well,
back?
Are
we
doing, we're unless you news. Want to join us for the news. Any interest in talking
yeah,
about
why not?
Politics? Great.
Yeah,
we'll
love
stay right
it.
Here. And
I'd rather
Michael
talk
will hit
about
us with some of the news.
Yes.
All
right.
We're
right,
gonna go
Sam. You right. said him. You told
right.
him so.
Right.
Well, the biggest news story, as we get our wonderful news music going, the biggest news story, in case you have been hiding under a rock and not on Twitter or watching any of the NFL or ESPN or anything coverage the last couple days, obviously with Trump and his new vendetta against sports and the national anthem. And quick timeline, started Friday, he said that NFL owners and coaches need to fire or suspend any of the son of a bee, actually said it, I don't cuss, sorry.
Son of a bitch, go
there
ahead,
you go. Said
sons
that,
of bitches.
Sons
that
of
he,
bitches.
Said that he need to fire those people, which one is an incredible thing, and not in a good way, for a president to say. Like everyone was saying, is that the first time that a president has said that at a rally or anywhere? And that obviously did not sit well with people who, obviously, it's directed towards Kaepernick. And so it kind of, it's a race thing a little bit where he said that. So the next day.
Michael editorializes.
Yeah, he puts his opinion in there a little bit.
Yeah, he does.
Too,
yeah.
No, that's not an opinion. That is a race thing.
It's an incredible thing
yeah,
to say.
Just a
yeah,
little
you
bit.
Said. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I just didn't read his tweet. It's nothing about race.
He's yeah. definitely
it's about
it's
the flag.
It's a little bit of a race.
Yeah,
he's definitely an editorializing newsreader.
So while doing that, there's also discussion of NBA championship, Golden State Warriors going to the White House. They were kind of on the fence a little bit, and then he withdrew that. Saying, you know what, you're hesitating, you're gone. So then Sunday, it was a big deal about what teams would do, and basically almost every team had some sort of showing whether they were kneeling. A lot of teams didn't even show up for the national anthem. The Pittsburgh Steelers, I know Seattle Seahawks, I know two teams that at least stayed in the tunnel, did not even appear. So that obviously begs the question of what is appropriate? What would you do?
Editorializing.
Even tonight, the Cowboys knelt before the national anthem, stood for the national anthem. I would love to get Austin your take on that. Sam, your take
oh,
on that.
Man. Sam, I'll let you start.
Well.
I got my head in my hands.
I mean, I think at this point, right, the idea is that people don't want their... We don't want our football and our politics mixing. We don't want to see these guys kneeling because it's not about that. It's what we want. So if you don't want your football and your politics mixing, then you should bring the players out after the national anthem has already been played. If you
You know why they don't do that?
Yeah, I know why.
Because they've paid the NFL yeah. to have them sitting on the sidelines because it makes it an easier recruitment tool for the armed forces to make the players seem more patriotic.
Yeah, they never
and
used to do it until then.
I think that we live in a world where you can refer to the guy on the Steelers, who's the one guy who put his hand on his heart
right.
and pledged the flag. Right. That guy, as well as everybody who knelt for the flag.
Yeah,
and they're
well,
both in the right.
But you do understand, you've heard that he actually felt bad that he got caught out there. and he felt that he threw the team under the bus. He wasn't I mean, so but
that was about team loyalty, though. Like he didn't, and that's where things get confusing because you want to if you want to kneel for the flag, you should be able to kneel for the flag. If you want to put your hand on your heart, you should be able to put your hand
if
on your heart.
If you want to do the worm, if you want to do the worm during the national anthem, you should be able to do the worm.
And that's the point of the national anthem. Like and people say, well, you know, the NFL is a private organization, and Trump said if they want to make millions of dollars playing football, then they should be standing for the national anthem, which I do. I have yet to see the correlation.
You know, the thing about the national anthem, we're talking about a song here, and some people might get pissed at this, that had to have racist verses removed from it.
Well, but
some people are pissed about that because, you know what? Like, we should hear the song in its entirety. There's some very fine people who wrote those verses.
Yeah, but, I mean, at the same time, we should evolve. I don't think that's a slight on the national anthem. Like, we took... The fact that we took the racist verses out
is a good
is
thing.
A credit.
Right.
To
yeah.
right. Hey, as long as we leave the racist statues up, they can take the verses out of the song. It's cool.
So
it's a compromise.
What would you guys have done if this was while you guys were wrestling in the WWE? Mm-hmm. What would you guys have done if you guys were people who had to come out and do this and then the president said something like this?
Waited for the evil Russian to come and interrupt the national anthem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a little different, I think. In some ways,
our show isn't really set up like that. They do a national anthem, but we're not all out there for that. And and also, like, if I guess that would matter. Like, if there's, you'd have to talk to African American players on the wrestlers.
I think my point is that in the NFL right now, if you take a stand and if your owner doesn't like it, you've got 30 other teams you can go play for.
Right.
And that your performance of how good you are will base, unless you're Colin Kaepernick.
That's right.
If you have a spot or not. In our situation, it's a little different because you don't maybe have those luxuries. So more guys might toe the line there for fear of not having a job.
I don't think that necessarily everybody would come out and stand. Like, that wouldn't be done in a wrestling scenario.
It'd be nice if we did. You know, it'd be nice if across the board, because I think people are missing the point of what this is about. If you're a patriot, you should 100%, whether you agree or disagree, should be for the right for these people to do whatever they want.
That's right.
Even if you feel disrespected.
That's right.
Because when you say they're disrespecting the soldiers, that's off base. These soldiers have gone and put their lives on line, so these guys have the right to do this.
Right.
When I went over there and visited these soldiers, you realize a lot of them don't agree with why they're over there doing this.
Right.
They don't agree with the reasoning, but they're doing their job, so we all have the right to have these choices.
And the thing that we're forgetting with a lot of these conversations, the thing that people forget is, like, we as people have the right to be assholes and to think that somebody else is an asshole, and that doesn't mean that...
That
they
gets
get
to form
fired.
Policy.
That doesn't mean, it's just like, oh, yeah, that's kind of a shitty thing to do. Okay.
And listen, and Trump has to be a little more self-aware that it comes off very much off, and especially when you look at the sports he's attacking.
Yeah.
He's basically telling, like, hey, you owners, get your slaves back in place, and you tell them if they're going to, when they stand or when they kneel, and if they don't, you fire them.
It was, to me...
If they want to make money off us, and they do what we say.
To me, what was a little glaring about this one...
Except for those very fine people in NASCAR.
Yeah, well, Dale Jr.
Yeah, well, Dale Jr., right.
Yeah,
Dale and NASCAR Jr. only has one minority driver full-time in NASCAR. Yeah. There's one black driver.
Maybe, I don't know. But what was glaring to me about this speech was that our president was very quick to label the players that were kneeling for the national anthem as sons of bitches. Mm. And when there was a rally involving a lot of white supremacists, he was a little bit more slow.
Very fine sons of bitches. Yeah. There were some very fine sons of bitches. Like, I don't know what their mother has to do with any of this, personally.
Right. So did we cover that, Michael?
Yeah. No, I mean, it's one of those topics that we could literally talk about for
I think the sad thing is we should be talking about other things like Puerto Rico.
Yes.
Yeah. And these, like, let's ask what Puerto Rico thinks about all this, kneeling, non-kneeling.
Oh, that's right.
They can't watch the Tomorrow Show. It's on the internet. They don't have that.
Yeah. Equally as important, Kylie Jenner.
She's pregnant. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's the next story on the list. Kylie Jenner, who is...
Made it before Puerto Rico.
I
love this, Michael.
Kylie Jenner and her boyfriend, Travis Scott, the rapper, came out on Friday, which, you know, is debatable looking at the timing of this. It came out on Friday on TMZ, and then Sunday they had their big Keeping Up with the Kardashians 10-year reunion. So
that's convenient.
I'll let everyone else do the editorializing.
Ryan Seacrest actually texted Kris Jenner this morning live on his show with Kylie Kelly.
Texted live?
He texted Chris Jenner live, and Chris
wrote
back.
How do you know
back,
if he's on the radio texting live?
No, he was on Live with Kelly. It's a TV
show.
Oh,
it's
show.
On television.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a TV show,
it's a
Sam.
It's a TV show?
Yeah. It's the number one daytime show.
No, you're right, because Ryan Seacrest doesn't host a morning radio show.
He does
that
several things.
That
but
couldn't
with,
be confusing
but his
to
co-host
anyone.
Isn't Kelly. On the radio.
What, that,
come on, Sam, get with
Sam,
it here.
Come that, on, Sam.
Austin, you're looking at me
you know,
like I'm an idiot. Right?
You know,
all I know is
that was a given.
All I know is I was Travis Scott's favorite wrestler when he was a kid growing up.
Yep, and they were yes. wearing WWE shirts with your
NWO?
Your name on the back of it. NWO, yeah.
Nice.
Anyway, so Ryan texted Kris Jenner, and Kris Jenner wrote back, "We're not commenting." And then later on in the day, Kathy Lee Gifford. Gifford.
Oh, I thought we knew all the co-hosts.
Kathy Lee,
names.
I don't know, clearly.
Oh.
Kathy Lee Gifford, who is the, she's the best friends with Kris Jenner, and she's also like the godmother to one of the Kardashians. She wouldn't speak at all, and Hoda, her co-host, was like, "Do you know if Kylie's pregnant?" And she's like, and she wouldn't say anything. So it's pretty clear that she is pregnant, just because if she wasn't, I feel like they would say no.
I mean, what
you would just say no.
Does it make any difference whatsoever if she's pregnant or not?
It does for ratings of next season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, but other than that, no.
Well,
also
we're running
for
out of direction.
The gene pool, too, you know, as far as if we're going to dilute it some more.
So you love the Kardashians, is what you're saying.
I think what they should do, I think this all fits together, is they should do their show, and they should now move it to Puerto Rico so that we can actually talk about things that matter, and they can maybe bring some commerce and back to Puerto Rico.
And
right?
eat more
yeah.
plants.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Yeah.
I think
fuck
so,
yeah.
If they were Puerto Rican vegetarians, it's like, yeah, now we're on to a show where we can actually make
with
a difference.
With the Kardashians.
If with the Kardashians.
Let's get the Kardashians to go plant-based.
Apparently,
yeah.
Apparently, Austin,
quickly
there was some
follow.
Kind of like regulation that like our ships aren't even allowed to pull up there and help them.
Really?
You talking
yeah.
about Kylie?
No, Puerto Rico.
Like... Yes, her ship.
I mean, I know this
nobody
is
can come in anymore.
Jeez.
Right. Right.
What, all right, Michael.
What's next on the docket, Michael? We don't know if she's pregnant. We can't tell you.
Another thing, we'll talk some more wrestling because it was definitely a topic of conversation over the weekend at WWE's No Mercy. John Cena lost to Roman Reigns, and it seemed to show afterwards that he did some, I don't want to say he officially retired or like did made it seem like he was retiring, but his actions and even his comments afterwards kind of made it seem like he didn't know his future in the sport. And even a lot of people were tweeting at him and, you know, thanking him for his, you know, 15 years that he did. He is 40 years old. He has 15 years in the WWE.
You know what the deal is, Michael?
What is it?
He's getting ready to go make a movie in Puerto Rico.
Ooh.
But Puerto Rico's, you know, yeah. in rough shape, so they had to postpone the movie.
You're being serious right now?
No, I'm not.
Oh.
No.
What do you guys actually think about this?
Well, I think John Cena's got quite a lot of gas left in that
yeah.
tank. I would have to predict that he's not done.
What? What's going on, Austin?
But nothing. I'm enjoying the year Roman Reigns is having, and you know, this is looking like he's retiring the Undertaker, and then looking like he's retiring John Cena. I like it. I like it. As a WWE fan, it's like, okay, we're seeing a long-term story play out with Roman Reigns and the potential crowning of the new king of WWE. I like the way it's being shown.
I feel like I'm not in on the joke.
There's
you guys
no,
know
no,
something
no joke.
That I don't know.
Nope.
No.
Well.
No. I mean, I just gave my opinion on what was happening.
I
don't know.
Sean and Austin, have you guys heard anything about him retiring or his future plans? I know Sean was saying that. I mean, I think there is actually plans of him possibly making a movie or
yeah,
doing
but he makes
adventures.
Movies all the time, so I don't know what would be special.
Yeah,
about
I mean,
this.
I he's doing movies. I mean, that's known. Like he's doing, I think, the Bumblebee
maybe he wants
Transformer movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows?
You know.
I don't know.
Maybe
right.
maybe he just wants all you're talking about.
Right. Exactly.
You talking about Kylie Jenner?
Bruce.
Puerto Rico.
We could talk about Puerto Rico. They just asked for federal help.
Nobody's talking about Puerto Rico, dude. It's not.
I mean,
it's not as topical
right.
story.
Wait, like, hey, once they get a sports team, get back to me about Puerto
right?
Rico.
Yeah.
Well, we don't care otherwise.
I mean, they're not even a
or
state.
Kardashian.
Michael.
Right. Michael doesn't know what to do with that. Somebody
he's
help
so
him.
Lost. He's
Somebody
so,
help
he's
him.
Like,
oh,
man.
Poor Michael.
Wow. What's next on the docket,
yeah, Michael?
Next story, we're going back to, we're actually going to Roxy's favorite, Anthony Weiner.
Oh,
Roxy,
I love him. He's
Roxy,
so hot.
Roxy, you want, wait, do you
still?
Really think
like,
he's
literally
hot?
So gross.
I mean,
I
he's,
can't even.
He's documented as like.
I know. He's a sex offender.
Trying to get 15.
Gotta
he's a sex offender. He's getting 15-year-olds on the internet.
He's got a little slim. He's got a little slim good body look.
He's got that.
He's
yeah, he got does. That Jew. He's got that Jew thing going on. And I just dig it. Oh.
Yeah. So what's
well,
the story,
well,
Michael?
Unfortunately, Roxy, you're going to have to wait 21 months before you can see him again because he will be in prison that long.
You can visit him.
As Sam said, he was caught sexting a 15-year-old girl.
It happens to the best of us.
More than sexting. He was on Skype. He was on all over the internet.
You know what, guys?
Your Honor, I did not know she was 15. Yeah.
Except for
she told me she was 12.
He got fucked. That's really what it all comes down
what?
To.
What are you talking about?
No, like.
Did he literally?
No, he didn't literally. It's what we all say in the. You guys.
I read know. This. I read
Nobody
some
here
of this stuff.
The show?
And
what show?
Tomorrow's show.
Oh.
It's the millennial way of life.
Is Kelly
we
on the
fucked.
Program?
Oh, I like that. Okay. I like that. He's the it's
he
the
got
millennial.
Fucked.
Yeah, he got fucked.
It's his
good
it's,
angle.
It sucks
and,
for him.
Yeah.
Good jawline.
And actually, where he's going, he has a good chance for that to be happening repeatedly. So.
He, I mean,
oh, no.
Best of luck to Mr. Wiener.
Oh, I would fuck him in the butt with a dildo, I think.
Jesus Christ, Roxy.
So wait, what is it about him?
Or maybe a banana.
Or a banana.
He's on the gas right there, I guarantee it.
If Roxy. You...
yeah, yeah.
Nasty.
Oh, yeah.
What's the gas?
Yeah.
What's the
no,
gas?
It's just like, you know...
Steroids?
Performance-enhancing drugs.
Yes.
Oh, really? He doesn't look very good.
Yeah,
come on.
The picture on the
yeah,
right...
Yeah, but he's a... If
he,
you,
yeah.
He just looks skinny.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like he's, like, on
right.
anything. Don't
you think he'd be a good lay?
But
come
if
on.
You say so.
Take some votes.
See, Sam?
Are you serious? No.
Yeah,
get on the plant-based diet and some gas, and that's what you look like.
He's not skinny fat.
No,
he's in good shape.
That.
Like you know those tennis
look,
players that are like. Mm.
Here's the thing, they released the transcripts. Obviously, it was all in court and everything. And I mean, like, he's on Skype with this girl.
He told her to save
whatever.
The good stuff for Skype.
He's literally the transcripts.
My hero.
She's going. You know I'm 15, right? You know this is illegal, right? You know I'm underage, right? And it's all there
and
in
goes,
black and
he
white.
He goes, yeah, you're young.
I really
yeah.
wish.
Yeah, and he's saying yes. He's answering in the affirmative to yeah. all of it.
Your Honor, I'm dyslexic, Your Honor. I thought she was 51 and all this
remember,
was kosher.
Do you remember the show, was it To Catch a Predator?
To Catch a Predator. Oh,
okay. Can you imagine if it was him, if they just caught him?
I can't,
and they put him on TV and that happened?
I can't believe somebody who's made mistake after mistake. It's obviously he's not going to get any better, and he only gets 21 months.
I was
going
to say, you got off lucky.
Right. Actually,
yeah,
someone
really
who
lucky.
Grew up in my neighborhood back home in Massachusetts, she's a woman, and she allegedly had sex with two 15-year-old boys while she was like 40 years old, and she got 4 years in prison.
The maximum
I'm just saying, that's
gotten.
A woman. It's just interesting that a guy that's done it repeatedly.
I don't think
don't
he's
know.
actually had sex with anybody.
We don't know. Oh, okay. He definitely didn't have sex
no,
with any
it was
girl.
All, as far as we know, all the charges are about like
yeah, so stop
texting
making fun of my
and direct
yeah, he's a
message.
Good guy then. He's a keeper, Rox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In that case.
Michael, what were you saying?
He wasn't going to have sex.
He had second thoughts.
She
had second thoughts.
Totally.
Yeah.
Michael, what was the most amount of time he could have
gotten? The maximum sentence that he could have gotten was 10 years.
Well, I would have given
good
him all
lawyers because he's Jewish.
You think
yeah.
that's why?
Totally.
Sure.
You guys got connections.
Yeah. Mm. I'm really happy that my tax money is going to help pay for this guy to sit in there.
Yeah,
and think about what he did and then come out and do it again.
Totally.
That's right.
That's awesome.
That's right.
Yeah.
Just re-strategize.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Better to go to that than the plants, right?
No. Hey, if you all want to put meat in your mouth, it's up to you. I'm going to abstain.
Do you think it's easy to do a vegan diet in jail?
You're getting no vegan diet in jail. There's plenty of meat in there, I'll tell you.
If it's not real meat, though, right?
Yeah.
It's canned meat.
Man, when I was... there's really no way to eat good in jail at all.
Well,
it just
good.
Isn't happening.
Am I supposed to feel bad about that?
Well,
oh, you know what? We got to do something about that. We got to get these prisoners better food.
I do. Someone fills his canteen. We don't know.
Right.
He probably has his canteen filled
no,
up and got some Skippy peanut butter
think
in there.
I do feel bad.
Well,
about
I was
that.
Sitting in jail for something I didn't do.
Well,
and so I did feel bad.
As are
about
many
it.
People.
I was more offended when I saw what our soldiers were eating when I was overseas.
Was it pretty bad?
Well, you know, mm-hmm. I wouldn't eat it, and I'm not expected to work 12
that's
hours a day.
Brutal. Yeah, well, I mean, there's
what kind
so
of
many things
eat?
We could
just your very typical Midwest, American diet. You know,
sounds
and,
good to me.
So, and I'm sure it's not easy necessarily having wholesome food, but for the amount of money we spend on the military,
you'd think
we would cash in a couple of those bombers and maybe, and they should, yeah, including when they come back home here. They should all have jobs and they should have a future waiting for them. But let's build a wall and let's worry about NFL players taking these.
Well,
Puerto Rico.
Michael, I want to thank you for an outstanding read of the news. You've informed everybody on all the stories that matter. And
and a few that don't.
You've done it in an impartial and informative way. You're great at what you do, Michael. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Klaus.
Thank you, sir.
Is this...
Yeah, Sam, you can take us out of here.
Well, listen, everybody. I appreciate you all being a part of the Tomorrow Show. Austin Aries, thank you.
Thanks for having
me,
guys. It was a lot of fun.
Ashley,
thank you.
You are as fabulous as I knew you were before I got here.
Thank you,
yep.
Sam.
Psychic as fuck.
That's right.
Yep.
Roxy Stryer.
Austin and I are going to be in Australia in November.
Hey.
Oh, breaking the news. I will be in Australia.
Oh,
November.
Did I?
Yeah, I haven't been promoting stuff until I'm officially.
Oh, shit, I'm sorry.
But it's cool.
But it was on the
It's out there. Yeah, yeah. I'll be in Australia. I got a lot of stuff coming up that we'll all talk about real soon about after October 15th.
Sorry about
Maybe
that.
You're just there sightseeing.
Very, very
I am
exciting.
Looking for some kangaroos.
There
to
it is.
Eat?
No.
To play with.
Yeah
I want to play with them.
Roxy,
sorry, I'm stuck on this. I'll move
it's
on.
All good.
Soon.
It's okay.
For all these folks, for Michael in there and Lauren LaGrasso, and for the last professional broadcaster, Sam Roberts. Thanks, everybody. Roxy, do the tagline.
Make it a better tomorrow.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to The Tomorrow Show with Kevin Undergaro. For guest bookings, questions, or comments, you can email us at info@thetomorrowshow.com. Be sure to follow us on social media and tell a friend about the show. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, your voice of tomorrow, wishing you a better one.